night, everybody. Hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. So many things to talk about tonight, and hopefully you had a lovely weekend, in particular your Thanksgiving celebration with those that you love in whatever form that may come, because we talked on Thanksgiving night, actually, about perhaps the fact that people are either estranged or maybe you've lost somebody, and I hope that you came through this holiday with really some joy. Andrea, I don't know if you have anybody in your life that this was their first Thanksgiving, maybe without somebody.
Yeah.
And it's an important time to appreciate the fact that not everybody enjoys the holiday the same way. We all have these expectations of happiness.
Absolutely. And we had some cousins who their husbands had they're young.
Yeah.
One had heart surgery and the other had surgery to remove some cancer cells, and they're both okay. So this was kind of everyone's first Thanksgiving, kind of celebrating after some hard times. So
something new to have some perspective.
Exactly. It does give you a lot of perspective.
It does.
Know? So.
And I know that a lot of folks were jammed up at O'Hare Airport Midway with travel. Maybe you were driving. Because we focus a lot on the airports. But think of the folks that were on the roads, too. Especially those coming from areas like Kansas or Iowa. Because I'm pretty sure those areas were slammed.
Oh, my gosh. Iowa got pounded before we did. And you and I were talking off the air. I actually went to dinner last night with some friends. And we met in Oak Brook, kind of halfway between our two camps. And I said, as long as we go early, because obviously I said not to get the early bird special, but I said let's go early, and we got home just as it started to sleet. And I saw your pictures from today that you posted too.
So
we
crazy
about.
Yeah,
oh my God.
What time did you get home last night?
I got home about, I want to say 7.
Yeah, that's
7:15.
About
that's right when it started to hit. And then today, oh my God.
Yeah, that was
snowblower didn't start, so I'm digging. I'm
No. You had that day?
That was to the today.
I'm saying you had that day. Like so many people I saw on Facebook could not start their snowblower.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy, cuz I had it ready. I was good to go.
And in what way did you have it ready? And you mean out?
I had
did
it.
You try it? Did,
okay,
you, did you crank
question.
It on Saturday?
I bought the, no, and okay. I should have, because I bought the gas. Last year, it was fine.
Right.
Worked great. I bought the gas, checked the oil, know, and I pride myself, because I'm, kind of a new-ish homeowner.
Sure.
At least I'm new in my area now, and I love cutting the grass. I love being a homeowner. I love snow blowing.
The equipment.
Within
the equipment.
Reason.
Sure.
Yeah, within reason. But today, oh my God, Patty, I thought, oh God, please start. Please, 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 somebody, make this thing. And it didn't. So I thought I was one of those people who had to shovel, but gently, because I know this is the...
Well,
this is the heavy snow.
Yeah, you got to be careful. And it's the kind of thing where we think, well, we're not, we're pretty young.
Yeah, right.
But I'm glad that you took it easy. But
you're
not alone on the snowblower situation. I saw a lot of folks who said they couldn't get it started. I saw one person, actually, it was Senator Tom Cullerton, who said that he started it on Saturday. That's why I asked. I'm not a snowblower owner.
Mm-hmm.
I have very generous, I have generous neighbors today.
Yeah.
Somebody did the whole the whole block.
See, that's nice.
I wanted to go outside and I wanted to throw money at him. I wanted to thank him. I'm going to get him a basket of goodies or something.
I know. I was looking for a neighborhood kid, one of the high school kids, but they were in school. They were at school.
Yep.
So I was like, oh God, I'll give any kid $20 just to, plow out my driveway.
He'd be like, here, have my money.
Yeah. Here, go ahead.
Take it.
Whatever. Take it.
Just take it. It's hard. Because Sarah, do you live in an area where you have to take care of like an apartment or a building where you have to take care of the sidewalks or anything?
Yeah, we have the entire driveway, actually, because we have a house. Actually, we have two houses. So, I had to go.
Were you shoveling?
You said what?
Were you shoveling?
Yeah, we shovel. We don't even have the snowblower. Yeah.
Now, were you listening? I don't know if you heard Lou Manfredini, and I don't know if you were there for this conversation, Andrea.
Yeah.
I was sitting in Stephanie and Todd's office, and I was absolutely obsessed. I don't know why. This is the silliest thing, and I shouldn't be obsessed over the statements that Lou Manfredini made on John Williams' show.
Oh, God, I didn't hear.
Yes. We probably should have just called Lou, because I needed clarification on this.
Okay. Is this a snowblower question?
It's a shoveling question. He said, because of the type of shovel that he has, that he can use it because of the heavy snow, because he has a big butt.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. And it kind of just hung there. Still, like, Bertrand tried to, like, move past it.
Right.
I was living in the what? So, basically, I wasn't sure if he meant because he has strong glutes. And John Williams tried to explain it to me later that it was because he felt, maybe he was thinking that because he has a stronger core.
Right.
Because Lou's a big dude.
Oh, he's like, yeah, I would think, I look at him and I would think a strong guy.
But the way he put it was because he had a big butt. And I couldn't move past that. Now, no one in Chicagoland will either past that.
Maybe I should feel better because I was so exhausted. I was winded after being outside for like an hour.
Your butt's not big enough.
No.
No.
I'm just going to take solace in that.
I think so.
And my lower back hurts a little bit, even though I was bending, you know.
We should do some stretches during the break.
Yeah, we should.
Hey, you know what? I'll show you some stuff. Did your back?
Okay.
I mean, because.
Just lower back a little bit, because it was a really wet snow. And I know my mom's listening now, you know.
She's like, man.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I said, I had to get out of the driveway. Oh. So I did about half the driveway, and then just plowed out of the rest.
Well.
Because it was like slush by that time.
Did you stretch before you went out there? I feel like it's cardio.
No, I should have. Griffin, it is cardio.
It is. Griffin was out doing jumping jacks before he went outside last night. You should do some cardio, a little bit of warm-up.
Good cardio.
Yeah, and we need to do some stretches. I feel like you know who's going to help you at 7:30?
Dr.
Jen Zanotti.
Oh, she will, yes.
Well, okay, now that's, you know what, for later in the show, we got to talk about Dr. Most, who was on Steve Cochran's show this morning.
Talking about snow?
No.
In trouble?
Talking about scary ailments that you didn't know that you were prone to, that Cochran came into confrontation with this weekend I feel like I'm being, you know what, I don't know if people will be here till 10 p.m. I wish that you would be because
yeah, stay with us.
You have to find out why eating apples turned out to be a bad thing for Steve Cochran.
Oh,
what?
That's a good tease.
An apple a day makes Steve Cochran sway. I don't know. That was bad. I was trying to find the rhyme. More in a moment. And of course, we want to talk about a very serious day where we want to, you know, we welcome you to the show. We hope that you'll join us by calling or texting us. It was a very sad day today as we laid to rest one of Chicago's finest, as well as Dana Less, who was buried as well. And I'm not sure when Dr. O'Neill's funeral is.
I believe they're waiting a little bit longer. I believe hers is December 1st, which is either Friday or Saturday.
And I know that the services were today. And I want to talk a little bit. We want to talk a little bit about that as the city continues to struggle with the incredibly tragic events of last week. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darla, 720 WGN. Thank you so much for listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. The funeral of Officer Samuel Jimenez and pharmacist Dana Less, they were both held today, and thousands of people showed up to both of these services. And I know that in one of the sermons, I believe for Dana Less, the sermon was very much about these were three people who were there to help.
Right.
And the city continues to mourn. It was a holiday weekend where, you know, we all give thanks, and there were three seats that were empty this weekend.
You know, and I couldn't help but think of that, you know, as we were getting ready for Thanksgiving, and as you were mentioning people, because we always do a little prayer for those who have left us, and, you know, kind of raise our glass and say, you know, to Uncle Mike and Uncle George and everybody who couldn't be with us or is with us in spirit, I guess. And I was really thinking about that this year, about these three individuals, Officer Jimenez, Dr. O'Neill, and Dana Less as well, the pharmacist. I just was really thinking about how really this has affected so many people. You know, they were different races, different religions, different colors. Some had families, some were engaged to be married, some were separated. I mean, so it's just all different people, but all three wanted to help others.
Yes.
And even died helping others, you know, shielding or are, you know, running or trying to help others and are calling the police, and then those going right into the action too. So it was very moving today. Governor Rauner and Mayor Emanuel and Eddie Johnson, just, you know, he's a very good speaker, the police superintendent. You never want to hear him speak in a situation like this, but he's just a very good speaker. Like, you know, keep all of us in your hearts and prayers. We're all human. We're all here together. You know, this is an officer who ran in, you know, even after he saw this shooter go into the hospital, and all the officers just ran in after. And there were reports of, you know, Dana Less shielding someone in the elevator. So, you know,
I had not heard
that. Yeah, that was an initial, early on someone had said that, and then I guess she kind of leaned over and was trying to shield somebody and...
Right, fighting for other people all the way to the end.
But all helping others. So, yeah, it was a very, very somber, day.
And I have seen several police officers, and I live in a neighborhood. I live in Jefferson Park where we have a lot of first responders. And, you know, we've had several years where they have come under this assault and public scrutiny and, you know, a lot of things where we don't, you know, where it sounds as though we are all against the police department. And I hope that the police, those who do run toward danger, know that we are there for them. Yeah. Yes, there are people who are frustrated or have negative things to say, and those voices are the negative voices are always going to be louder, right. Or criticism is always going to land harder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I hope that they know that for a job that most of us can't or won't do, right. We are grateful for them, and because nobody gets ready in the morning, no one puts on their uniform thinking this is going to be it. Right. They know somewhere, and I have to believe somewhere deep down. They know it's a possibility. This is part of their training.
Right.
And from what I understand with Officer Samuel Jimenez is that he had the promise of being an incredible officer, was so dedicated and excited to have the job. And it's not an easy process to go through. I mean, we kind of think of officers as, you know, being, you know, oh, they've got a great, you know, they have a great pension. They've got the job security. But at what cost, right?
Right.
And not just to them, but to their families. And think of the kids he leaves behind and stories about his mom.
Oh, my gosh. And the kids. He had two children. Mm-hmm. And then one was when he had adopted and took into his home, their home.
Right.
He and his wife. And they were married. They were pretty newly married.
Yeah.
He was new on the force. And what always gets to me, Patty, you know, is just the stories surrounding how they came to be in this circumstance. Yes, this was not his district. This was District 1. So he was from a different district. But he and his partner were out. They were on another assignment and heard this over the radio and heard that, you know, officers were in distress, officers were in trouble and being shot at. And shot, actually, too, because one officer was shot in his gun holster.
Right.
And decided to reroute and go help.
Right.
You know, and wasn't even responding to that call or didn't need to.
Right. I think he was delivering mail. Like they were on an assignment,
yeah,
like you said.
Doing an errand. Yeah.
Right. And we started this year, very early in the year, Commander Bauer, who affected so many lives. And it's interesting because you have these two police officers, one who had an established career. Many officers reached out and people in his community.
Oh my God.
Who.
And people from other states.
Yes.
You know, there were, and there were Canadian Mounties at his funeral too, from different countries.
And this young officer. And we also talked about Dr. O'Neill, who knew. She knew when she saw her ex-fiance there, she asked people, please don't leave me alone.
Right.
She made the call to 911.
Mm-hmm.
She was afraid for her life. And it's a conversation we do need to continue to have about, you know, when you feel in danger. Because it sounds as though there were some red flags, but you can't account for all of it. Like,
no.
I'm sure. And you know what? I'll bet the folks who drop the feel like they're being attacked or were the ones who might have been able to say something. They are feeling awful.
Right.
That they were in a position where maybe he shouldn't have been able to get a firearm or, you know, they were the ones because he apparently was very abusive to women at the fire academy.
Right.
Had said he was going to come in here and shoot the place up.
Right. And they dismissed him.
Yeah, he didn't really stop showing up, so they dismissed him.
Yeah,
right,
they
you're right.
Dismissed him. So, I mean, I guess everybody always tries to, especially people in this situation, might feel either guilty or think they could have done something. But, you know, I just would hope that those people would realize that this was someone who was not well.
Right.
You know,
he was right. And who knows when and where.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, it was last Monday at Mercy Hospital where three people lost their lives. And it's got to be, you know, in the scale of it. I know that there were police officers yesterday at the wake because there was a visitation yesterday in Des Plaines. And I can't. I mean, part of that, too, is when you go and you obviously want to pay your respect. But in the back of your mind, you also have to be like, you know. this is the job that we took on.
Right.
And what, you know, continue.
It's like making peace with yourself almost as well. Yep.
The 301 says, we can ill afford to lose such valuable people. It's terribly sad. And there's just a lot. I know a lot of people have thoughts about this. We're going to take a break in just a moment. And we're going to talk to Jen Zanotti too, because we were talking a little bit about, you know, the weather. And obviously when you are watching coverage of this and these sad stories,
yes,
there's also something about like what keeps you going? Mm-hmm. How do you keep moving? And how can you contribute to for yourself, for your family, for your community?
Right.
Right? When we see a situation like this, are you motivated mm-hmm. to reach out to others? Did you have a moment in the last week where you realized, you know what, this could happen anytime,
yeah,
any place?
Absolutely.
How can I be kind to others?
And we should talk about, I'll tell you after the break, I'll tell you a pay it forward story.
Oh yes,
which I think,
please,
which you didn't hear last week because you were.
You can tell me now. We got time before.
Do
the
we
break.
Have time?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were preparing for, you work Thanksgiving Day and the day after as well.
Right.
So you needed time to be with your family and,
yeah,
and to sleep. You needed. So I was in solo on Wednesday. Michael was also off, our producer. So Jess Rains, who produces for Matt Bubala, was producing the program. And she said she had a pay it forward experience. And it was, I think it was at the Starbucks, and somebody had purchased her meal and said, this, aww, has been going on, you know, for, I think at that point it was like 14 cars in the drive through. So she said 14 people had paid it forward.
Kept
so
paying.
Yeah. And they said, you know, there's no pressure or anything, but the person just
bought your meal.
I think she said, how long has this been going on? They said 14 cars so far. So she said, do you mind if I call you late? I will. So she then bought the breakfast of the people behind her.
Right.
And the coffee. And she said, can I call you later to see how long this went on?
Right.
And they said it went on for 14 more cars.
Really?
So there were 28 pay it forwards. And then I think that the cashier either went on break or stopped counting at that point, because just said, well, is,
right, who wants to be that last,
yeah,
car? Was like,
be, right,
yeah, forget,
right,
that.
Right.
But it's how not about do that, that for
so,
you?
I mean, think about that. So that has to be at least, what would you say, maybe an hour,
yeah,
of pay it forwards. So
that's
how
wonderful.
Cool is that?
I
mean, love that's a
that.
Nice chain.
Something to be grateful for, the little,
yes,
things. Maybe some of you got your cardio in yesterday and today, shoveling the snow. Some people, man, Andrea, I saw somebody out running today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Wow.
Good for them. Look at them all being motivated and
no
stuff.
No kidding. That is motivation.
I was like, yeah, okay, show off.
Were they running in the street?
Yeah.
On a main street?
Partly in the street, partly on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I was like,
there you go.
Fine. Fine, go out there and run in this nasty, nasty weather. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we want to talk about motivation, how some people really can get their act together, put on their winter clothes, yeah, and run outside. And actually, on my Facebook today, I had one of those a year ago today, and a year ago, apparently today, I posted photos of my first time ever trying jiu-jitsu at Serafin Jiu-Jitsu in Evanston with our Motivational Monday expert, Jen Zanotti.
Hello. Hello.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, that was a year ago?
It was a year ago. I'm not sure if it was exact, because the photo came up today. I'm not sure if I was
right.
Like, but it was, you know, it was, so the saddest thing about it, I remember doing the you know, wrestling around and trying to warm up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in better shape a year ago, I'll be very honest. But I remember thinking, oh, I hope my feet don't look bad. And I remember seeing the photo going, my feet look pretty good. I'm okay. Because, you know, everyone's very self-conscious.
That was the biggest concern.
I didn't have any nail polish on. I hadn't had a pedicure, but I didn't want to look scary.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Are there ever women who come in for jiu-jitsu, Jen, who are like, I have to wear socks, and you're like, that's not possible? People are very,
you know, you have to be barefoot.
Oh
yes, there are some people that have, like, after training for a long time, I've seen worn like the socks with the little grips at the bottom.
I have those,
but not, I mean, never in a tournament, or I mean, you're gonna be bare feet.
Yeah,
really?
You have to have grip. Socks are sliding.
You need to, okay. Yeah. I mean, just like if it gets way too sweaty on the mat, you're going to like slip and slide. You can't, you know, you need to have a little tension against the mat.
So on top of the aggressive cuddling, you have to be barefoot.
Yes, I love Patty has that in her terminology.
Yes, aggressive cuddling. In particular, it's because amazing. I had aggressively cuddled with Paul.
Yes.
And we're like brother and sister. And like he kept trying to do this move where he had to come like across here and he kept getting stuck in my bra.
Sorry.
He did. He like would get stuck like in the straps. And I was like, it's okay.
But that's still, you know, we can chalk that up to him coming in late.
Yes.
We're still going to say that. You know, it was something different to walk into. Yes. We'll just put it that way.
Well, and to be honest, actually, this is a good conversation because I loved doing it, but I have not been able, like, you messaged me, you're like, hey, Wednesday open mats, Saturday, Sunday, and I don't get my butt in there. I know, but I also haven't even gone to the place that I love. CrossFit, Dog House CrossFit was my jam. Like,
right,
I love going there all the time.
I know you love
it. And once I fell out of doing that as a routine, like, I have not, and part of it starts to be a little bit of shame. You start thinking, oh, I'm not going to be able to get started again. It's going to be so hard, and I'm not in shape anymore, and I don't fit. You know, kind of also think you don't fit in. Andre, have you ever worked out someplace regularly where you kind of were part of a group?
Actually, we used to have the Tribune Fitness Center. I had in my old building where I used to live, there was a little workout center, you know.
Okay.
So I would see people up there and say hi, but it wasn't like a group, you know, like a group class.
Yeah. Right. Where sometimes with the group class, I think it's a little better because it holds people accountable.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's good to kind of have that partner, even if you decide to make a goal to start working out and have somebody you can check in with.
Right.
I saw this the other day, and it was actually for like a gratitude journal, but it would be great even with fitness goals to just email somebody. They don't have to respond back, but you're sending that email to hold you accountable and list, you know, the workout you did or the three things you're grateful for, whatever it can be. But just having that accountability.
Right.
And, you know, I can hold you accountable if you would like.
I'm in a slump. I'll be honest. I'm in a slump. I don't know any other way to describe it.
Well, I think, too, that we get a little bit hard on ourselves because we feel like we have to do everything we were doing before.
Right.
At the intensity and the time we were putting into working out. But it's just taking that few minutes. Like we had talked about last week, too, doing body movements, core movements, squats, planks,
push-ups, bands,
anything that you can do in your house. It is cold outside now. It's a little darker earlier.
That's what made me so angry
about
the guy.
Motivated.
I was so angry at the guy running. I'm like, show off.
Yeah. You're like, what are you doing?
Was it dark?
No, it was morning. Oh, it was just cold and wet.
Yeah. I know.
I just can't.
But I think if you go back to the place of how you were feeling before,
right,
when you were feeling a little bit healthier and you were getting more movement in, having that feeling, I think, kind of ignites that motivation.
I think that's a good point because I love Doghouse, but it was a mixed bag because there are certain things you have to do in CrossFit, and this might even happen if I was in jiu-jitsu. I have a bad shoulder. I have a bum shoulder, right? So they're like chin-ups are a big part of it, and obviously there's repetitive motion with the weightlifting. It's Olympic weightlifting. So I think that part of me was like, it's not good for me anyway.
Right.
I gave myself an out on that.
Yeah.
And they were good about adjusting for me and like, you know, you don't do this, use the bands. But at the same time, I started getting frustrated. Do you ever get like into a rut?
Yeah. My gosh, I do get into a rut. And I love summertime. I really don't. I love to bike. I like to be outside. You know, I can take a walk and be happy.
Yeah.
A fast walk. But wintertime, it's so easy just to be like, you know,
I'm good.
I'm going to just stay under the covers and stay warm.
Yeah. So help us. What we're saying
is
help
us. Do that.
Big time.
It was funny though. Even tonight I parked further away because I was like, oh, it's so nice and crisp out. I just want to walk. Patty's giving me this look like, what are you talking about?
Ironically followed each other in today and I'm like, thank God we're both going in the garage.
Yeah. You know? Like these words you're saying, Jen. But, yeah. It's like crisp.
Go ahead, Jen. Sorry.
You have a different description of cold weather. Crisp. Like a delicious apple that C. Cockrington's jaw stuck on. Yeah.
I mean, I think crisp. It's all the Hallmark holiday movies I'm watching right now, and it's
Are
giving
you?
Me that. I'm obsessed. I can't even. I mean, I'm so... It's funny to say and admit, but yes, you know exactly what's going to happen, but they suck you in.
They're
amazing. It's like the magic of the spirit with Christmas.
Would it be good to have a Hallmark movie end a way you didn't think it would? Like a surprise ending? Not like a sad one, but like end up with a different person.
They could throw that in there. That would be a
twist. Here's an example of a romantic movie that could have gone either way. Okay. Like My Best Friend's Wedding, right? Okay. Do you remember this? With Julia Roberts and Cameron Diaz?
Yes.
Right? So it could have ended up being Julia Roberts.
Right.
Right? Rather than Cameron. So I'm just saying, if you had that sort of... I'm just trying to work on a Hallmark movie myself.
I mean, what I think script? You should. You right. know, they like have if, plenty, like if, so you right. could definitely or like throw an idea out there.
What like if Judith Light doesn't go yes. out with her stepson and fall in love with him, you know?
Yeah. What?
Goes, wait, because you know, Judith Light is in
wait,
every.
Wait, what?
Right
wait
is, a minute. How many are Judith stepson, Light in?
I'm writing that script right now.
Why are you?
No. I don't know. Now but you know, their stepson, they fall in love with a stepson? Is this a script?
That would be, no, but wouldn't that be like a great Hallmark, you know?
I mean.
Like an anticlimactic Hallmark movie.
Right.
Like, I did yeah. not see that coming.
Let's yeah. work on this. I'm enjoying you know? This surprise twist ending.
I think we have a new project.
Light. Yes.
But getting back to that, I think it just, you know, brought me into that holiday feel of the crisp air outside, which is why I got some more steps in.
All right. Then how many steps did you get
further
in?
Away?
You counted them, didn't you?
No.
One, two,
no.
Three. No.
I didn't count
Not
them.
Even on your phone? No Fitbits?
No. I know that I think the trackers are amazing for people who want to increase their goals.
I feel a butt coming on.
No, I know that I'm pretty self-disciplined and I get a lot you of movement out. In the day.
I was thinking about her the other day, Andrea. I'm like, yeah. She trains for like just 3 hours saying. A day.
I know, Jen. Jeez. I do 3 hours like
I
a
mean,
month.
Well, okay, but it ranges.
But like, to that, like, I have to, it's not that we can't compare ourselves to people who are committed to a profession. That's your profession and your
right.
career.
But also, it's not always about the hours, and right. that's what I'm saying. We don't want to set ourselves up for failure, mm-hmm. and we need to be gentle with ourselves. But even if it's like 10 minutes of walking outside or parking further away or doing your in-home activities like squats, planks, push-ups, full body, you know, movements before bed, whatever it is that you can get in, it's a start. It's something. You're squatting right now. It's movement. The more movement right. we have, the better off we are, especially as we start getting older.
Right. Movement's and you can't important. Shovel snow every day.
No.
Heavy, wet snow no, every
and
day.
And you need to be careful with that, too.
Yeah, you'd be very careful. You know, the day we had the woman in that was doing the obstacle course, there was a she came in with like a, you know, with a midriff and we could see her incredibly taut belly. She was showing yes. me a couple of moves, but I, like, I don't do, like doing crunches. Are there like ways to develop your core? I guess planking is one.
Planking,
like simple ways,
yeah.
right.
Planking is great. Doing yoga style movements or like Pilates are great. You can get so many different like YouTube tutorials. Jiu-jitsu is amazing for the core. Just saying kettlebell training.
What about,
there's so many things.
How about like your belly? What if
even
you
squats though too.
Squats are good. What about for your belly?
Yeah.
A little excess belly fat.
Yeah.
A little,
oh,
yeah.
that you can do. I mean, there are a lot of different like side twists that you can do with like a medicine ball.
Yeah, keep
a
talking.
Lot of medicine ball activities. I love that you guys are both like twisting and working out right
I'm
now.
I'm doing it because Patty's standing, what? So I'm like, I better stand too.
That's great. You can do like full body crunches. I kind of call it like a gift to the gods where you with my clients, you're using a medicine ball. You lay down flat and you have it on your chest and then you lift all the way up and bring your arms up over your head and back down. So you're using some excess weight to just help build a little bit more strength.
See, if my kids were smaller, I would try using them, but I no one's really going to have a medicine ball at home. I know you have one.
Grab
in here.
Anything that's heavy, all that's right. around. Get not too heavy. Let's start
maybe
out, you
maybe
know, with a lower weight first.
My snowblower build up. Didn't work.
Okay.
Like, oh, listen.
So we're still getting texts about your snowblower, by the way, from the 708.
I know. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, 708 says, oil will not cause a no start. Either old gas or bad spark plug will cause a no start. I hate to ask this, but if there is a gas shutoff valve, it needs to be opened. And if there is an on-off switch for the machine,
I thought of that, yes.
It needs to be switched to on. Can't begin to tell you how many I have serviced, and this was the problem.
No, I did that too. Trust me. I put in the little clutch, the shutter, and then I removed, and then I pulled it back out, and then I turned it off, then I turned it on, then I thought maybe it was completely out of gasoline, so I filled it up, then I put more gasoline in, and then I hit the, the little button that... Now I'm gonna show my.
No, I'm like I don't know enough about the snowblower.
Yeah, can't help you.
Not the, I can't think. Where you only push it three times to get some of the gasoline, you know, flowing and the oil flowing.
We're both
and then I pulled that ripcord 20 times.
Oh,
and then I let it sit for 5 minutes, and then I pulled it again. Oops, I just. Pull my earplugs out of my ears.
It's very dramatic. No, but I mean, that's a lot of effort. Because Sarah's like, I got a shovel you can use.
Right? I used it. Cash, I used it. Right?
Have
worked the glutes today.
There you go.
Worked
look,
the glutes.
My grandfather taught me that, you know, manpower is like the best power there is.
That was some wet, heavy snow, though.
That is a true statement.
I know, when I was staring down the driveway, like, I got to get out of this driveway today. We had a meeting today and everything.
I really I've always wanted a snowblower. We have been graced with neighbors at one point or another. Like, one neighbor will have a snowblower, take care of all the sidewalks, even up to our stairs. Mm-hmm. And then they move, and we're like, oh, there goes a snowblower. And then, like, someone else moves in, and they have a snowblower. I'm not sure if it comes with the house or something.
Wow.
But we are very happy. So thank you to our neighbors. By the way,
that's super
lucky. I need to find some some neighborhood
very nice.
I have friends that have snow plows, and sometimes if there's no cars in my driveway, they'll come and just like plow it out for me.
Oh, yeah. My daddy has a snow plow, so that's very convenient. Oh. Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's talk about snow plowers and motivation when we come back. I have some thoughts on those who have their own snow plows driving down my alley. More in a moment on the Patty Baskett Show with Andrea Darlis. We're hanging out with Jen Zanotti.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs.
You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us in studio is Jen Zanotti. She is the host of Getting Zen with Gen Z, which you can find on WGNRadioPlus.com. And Jen texted me on her way into the station on Friday morning. She's like, I have something for you, and it's gold. And it was so wonderful, and I wanted to talk to you about this because I stay away a lot of times from pastas, and this was a tortellini soup.
Tortellini soup.
Yes.
I totally forgot about this.
It was
amazing.
It was so good because you could tell that it was made with love.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you because I stay away from pasta. Mm-hmm. I'm very self-conscious about, you know, Andre and I were talking a little bit about how do you stay in shape, you know, tone certain things. And I'm like Andre, I'm like, what about the belly thing? How do we take care of that?
Totally.
It's all good. Yeah. And so Jen had brought me some tortellini soup, and it was pockets of meat. So I was like, as I was eating, I'm like, oh, this is like her carb protein
in there.
One of the things Jen's told me, Andrea, is that within an hour of having something sugary or high carb, you should have protein within the hour. And I hadn't ever heard that before.
Really?
Well, so you always want to make sure. And this is kind of a general guideline because we do know everybody has different ailments and not one way of eating is going to be right for every individual.
Right.
So with that being said, typically how you want to eat is you want to kind of portion out your plate to be protein, good carbs and starches and good fats. Great combination. When you're adding that protein in there and having protein at every meal, especially some meals you might not be having carb intake depending on when you're training, what your goals are, all of that. But you know, a lot of protein, good veggies.
And by training, you mean gearing up for waking up in the morning.
Yes. There you go. Everybody's got a different goal.
I'm just saying. We all have goals.
But there's timing. So if you are training, you might get more of your carb load after the training within like a 1 to 3 hour window versus, you know, before, after. So we have different nutrient timings here. But we do want to make sure that when we have like a dessert or something like that, when we were talking about Thanksgiving, that we're eating that within a meal of when we're having that balanced, an hour within when we're having that balanced meal. Because you don't want to just take in a lot of sugars and carbs on an empty stomach without that protein. Because what happens is the protein, the good fats and the starches or carbs, they process and break down slower when you're digesting when they're in the combination.
See, I waited all day, and you're probably not supposed to do that, but I knew Thanksgiving was going to be a splurge day, a big day with the sweet potatoes.
I'm glad you're bringing this up. Keep going.
Okay, good, because I actually did think about this. I thought, oh, I'm not going to eat anything until all the way up, and I think, but I had coffee.
So I'm with Andrea.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And this is
coffee,
and we've talked about this.
And 10 hours of no eating until I shoved all kinds of food in my face.
Me too. Yep. But that is a mental mistake that I think a lot of us make. Mm-hmm. It's more of a mental thing where you think, I'm going to just not eat all day because I'm going to have a splurge meal later that night. Or it could be vice versa. I binged and had a splurge meal tonight, so the whole weekend's going out the window and I'm just going to eat whatever I want. I can start again on Monday. So everybody has that mentality. When you're gearing up to know that you're going to have a splurge meal, eat your consistent healthy meals. You want to still eat every 3 to 4 hours. They can be smaller meals. Maybe just do protein and veggies, you know, protein and fruits, whatever it's going to be, lighter. But you want to keep your metabolism going and you want to get your body's not thinking, oh, you know, I know that they're going to have a big meal and all those nutrients 10 hours from now.
Right.
Like, I need fuel right now. So you want to do that. And when you're consistently eating healthy, you know, 80% of the time, you're going to have some splurges, even 90% of the time, but your body can handle that splurge a lot better. And then after that meal, you go right back into your healthy lifestyle the next day.
So I posted a photo of my after Thanksgiving healthy lifestyle, which was a bed of spinach with broccoli and some cherry tomatoes and a large slice of Lou Malnati's pizza. Ooh. On top.
I was like, there better be some protein on there besides the cheese.
There's mushroom. No, there was just, but so no.
Green pepper.
I went back and I had some turkey later. But yeah, so it is delicious though. I do recommend the Lou Malnati's on a bed of spinach as my version of a salad, Chicago style salad.
This looks delicious.
It was amazing.
So sorry, Jen.
It's okay. Listen, this is going to happen. Moderation, but if we can just add these things in, like protein when we're eating that,
right?
I get it.
Eat healthy up until that meal. Mm-hmm. And then continue the next day, because you can make up for that meal within like 3 to 4 meals afterwards.
Well, so
and get right back on track.
So then I had okay. Let's talk more about. Let's just talk about what we ate on here.
I know. I love this picture's great.
It was delicious. My family was annoyed. It looks fine. Just post it. 312-981-7200. Are you struggling with motivation, whether it's your nutrition, working out? And I know Jen's got some thoughts for us on how we can take better care of ourselves. You can visit her podcast, Getting Zen with Jen Z, on WGNRadioPlus.com, as well as her website,
JenZanotti.com.
And find her on Instagram,
JZ Beauty and the Beast.
JZ Beauty and the Beast. More in a moment on The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, 720 WGN.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
Jefferson Starship.
Oh!
I'm sorry,
I guess technically Starship, right?
Just Starship? No, but Jefferson. What's Jefferson?
It's okay. We're still going to give you
Wait. Why did
you just get so excited every time? And just
What's Jefferson Starship then?
So the story goes that there was Jefferson Airplane, which is Grace Slick. And, okay. You know, then some of those members left without Grace Slick. And I think she ended up rejoining a Starship, but they called themselves Jefferson Airplane.
Okay.
Jefferson Starship.
Okay.
So it was Jefferson Airplane, then Jefferson Starship, and then in the 80s when they did that song, it was just Starship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm in the ballpark of...
You got it.
We're going to give it to you.
You got it.
So one, I'm
proud of you. I mean, listen, hey, I told you, I'm the same as you. I'm horrible with this stuff.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the show, we have a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge. The fact that I didn't know that story would actually work into the entire theme of that segment. I had no idea.
You said Jefferson Starship, yeah, Cash and I are giving that to you.
Here's the problem though. I would never have said Grace Slick. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a good name.
I mean, I wouldn't have either. Ask me said Starship, so I'm definitely giving it
to
you.
That's it, yeah. For sure.
You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us is Jen Zanotti. We've been talking a little bit about motivation and your nutrition, your health, your well being. We continue to get texts about Andrea's snowblower. And one is that you need to get an electric snow thrower. Electrics are the best. They're quick and great. Quiet. We also have one. So it's funny because as soon as you saw the text, I was like, oh yeah, that sounds right. The button you were trying to think of is the
primer button.
Yes. And you knew that.
The primer button. I just forget the name of the primer button, but I knew that, you know, the choke and then the throttle, and it worked last year. I'm okay at running. Using small engines. You know, I like to mow the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work. And it wasn't because... Thank you so much for the texters, too.
Everybody.
Because you guys are awesome.
There's like 6 or 7 people who want to make sure that you have all the information.
I know. It is running now. It's okay.
Okay.
I think it was just... I think what happened is that there was not gas in it. I filled it about halfway, tried it. I probably flooded it and then put more gas in, and so I should have let it sit for a longer time.
Before trying it again.
Yeah, and then the first time of the year, you have to pull it.
Well, I was going
to
say it's been sitting for so long. It's for sure.
Yeah, I should have let it run yesterday.
I have no idea. I've never owned a snowblower in my life. I have many shovels. I keep trying, the one that's like sort of bent halfway through.
Yeah,
we've tried the ergonomic ones, one with a padded like neck tube. Do you have a particular shovel you like, Sarah? Is there one that, or is it just a regular, just True Value Ace Hardware?
Nope, one that just has a handle on it.
One with the handle.
Just one with the handle.
There you go.
So you got a scoop part to it. I gotcha. By the way, from the from inside my house, the texts are coming. My husband wrote, "Hey, I bought you some more tomatoes, but I threw myself on the grenade and ate the rest of the pizza to save you." Also,
oh, nice. I mean, also, look at that.
Yes,
he's taking one
he's a good
for the
man.
Team right there. Yes,
yes,
he is.
But I do have to take care of him though, because I will tell Steve doesn't know this, but there was a moment where I was in the house and I was with Declan, and I thought, you know, I should probably. I don't know how long Steve's been outside. I mean, you know, anything could happen. I saw a post from a friend of mine who said that their husband was outside shoveling and was now in the hospital.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
So please, Steve, don't eat too much of the pizza.
No, save her some.
And I mean, partly because I want some, but also for you, honey. For you, the cholesterol, the heart disease. Yes.
You know, and this is again, thank you so much, texters. This is from the 708. This is the button that you're pushing is the choke. I knew that. But at the start of the season, you need to push it 3 times after the mushy button. That's the primer. I know this is going to be on Nick's show, but you have to push it 3 times after the mushy button feels firm. That's the primer button. And it usually doesn't feel firm until after about 10 pushes. I only pushed it three or four times because I didn't want to reflood it.
Yeah,
so
no.
I was just thinking jujitsu with the choke. That's all.
I know.
Just I know. Saying.
And I didn't know. Well, hey, I'm not going to reread it.
You were doing better than I did today. Okay. In the snow. I was cuddling with Declan. We were watching
on the couch,
Mickey Mouse and Baby Einsteins, and just enjoying a snow day. He was his school called, so they would not be having school today. And then, of course, his bus transport showed up. But those poor ladies, they were not called off.
And
I was nervous because they had a child. Like, Declan is nonverbal. He goes to a school with a lot of kids who have autism and varying degrees of communication. And there was already a kid in the van, and they were trying to get a hold of the mom to let her know. And I was like, you know, they were running late anyway. And what if she's already at work? And
right.
I mean, what do you even do on a day like that? Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit scary. In which case, by the way, that mom kind of falls in the category of, I think, something you were going to touch on. You said that you went to church this weekend. And I have not. My husband and the boys go to church on Sundays. I go once in a while. It is hard because, one, it's morning.
I'm with you, I don't go regularly.
Also, I'm not Catholic. My boys are all Catholic, which is fine. It's a beautiful church. They're wonderful people, you know, for the most part. But no, there was one time Declan loves to run toward the piano in the front of the church.
Yes.
And I'll let him go a little bit and like explore and enjoy the music. And then I'll turn him around. And this guy grabbed me one time. He goes, "You need a leash for that kid."
And I said,
"You need a muzzle next time you talk to a special needs mom." But there are wonderful messages that often come through in a sermon. And it sounds like you got something really fun in your sermon this weekend.
Yes. So it was a mass for my Nana, who passed in September.
It was.
And so, you know, one of the things is, which I didn't realize how many people can do this, but, you know, after the funeral and stuff, people usually give donations and things. And a lot of people donate masses. So, like, Christmas Eve mass will be in her name. Like, you can donate a mass for whatever date, like her birthday, whenever you want. So, through the church, you can make a donation of a mass in their name. Because my Nana went to church all the time.
Is that are those the mass cards?
Yes.
Like, if someone, okay, so that's the mass
card. And you can put it in their name, so they schedule it. And they have it on there so that when it's that mass time, they'll say their name like this, you know, this mass is in honor dedicated to.
I had no idea.
So really we went because it was my sister's baby shower yesterday and I was not teaching. I had a fill in for jujitsu. So I went with my mom to the mass. And Father Tom, who's actually a very big fan of WGN Radio and your show,
because we've talked about this before. Father Tom?
Yes.
Hi, Father Tom. My apologies. I go to church every Sunday.
That's not the Father Tom, right?
Father Tom Boldinieri.
Okay. Because there's, I thought
He's
there was a fire
in
department
Highwood.
Chaplain. Okay. Okay. I thought there was a fire department chaplain named Father Tom. Okay.
So we've had many conversations about this, and he loves that I'm able to be here and, you know, participate on your show. But he was talking about in the homily after the gospel, he was mentioning Stan Lee and like the Marvel comics,
cool.
Which I was like, okay, this is incredible. I love where this is going. But how sometimes we need to be our own superheroes in a very humble way. But that a lot of the superheroes he created are very real people with concerns and flaws and worries, you know, but they kind of dig inside and sure. become their own superhero with these powers and being able to help others. And sometimes on the track of motivation, like, you know, and as Patty's wearing the Wonder Woman shirt right now, yeah. we need to kind of just dig down deep and suck it up and be our own superhero.
I love that.
And I connected with, I was like, this is amazing. Like, I'm glad I came today. And I'm very, you know, I go to church on holidays and, you know, I'm very spiritual. But you know, not as religious all the time. So, I, you know, definitely just believe in being a good person and doing good things. And I think that message was amazing.
I love that because a lot of the characters that Stan Lee created were also flawed, right?
Yes,
whether it's Iron Man,
very human.
Stark is a very kind of selfish guy and, you know, finds it in himself to want to do something. And Peter Parker is sort of, you know, he gets a little bit, you know, narcissistic once in a while. Like there are always these flaws. I was looking up, as you mentioned, Wonder Woman. I was like, I saw the movie about a movie about the man who created her, which is William Moulton Marston, Dr. Marston.
I saw the movie too.
Did you? Oh, wasn't that good?
I loved it.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what was it? I have to watch.
Oh,
it was
fascinating.
What was his name again, Patty?
Dr. Marston.
Dr. Marston and his Wonder Women.
Yes.
Right, is what it was called.
Ooh,
it was
an
excellent movie.
Well, yeah, there are some, I had no idea.
I didn't either.
The areas in which they went in. I mean, there are some very sexual over and undertones.
Okay.
To what she wore, but the situations that she was in. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of in a polyamorous relationship with two women. Yeah,
for
two women.
Years.
And
for
they
years
continued,
and years. Like 30
oh my
years.
Gosh.
And they continued their relationship after he passed away.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the right face.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. I know. Hey.
But I was thinking about Stan Lee and the characters he created. Uh-huh. I mean, obviously you draw from the people in your life, and Dr. Marsters took it from his life and patterned a little bit of what he was going through and created the superhero, mm-hmm. somebody who could, you know, be there for other people, but also be a symbol, right? Both
right.
to themselves and to others.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting. I kind of love that message.
It was great. And I think it was just at a perfect time, but it was like, you know, yes, we all have flaws and we are, you know, human and things happen, but being able to kind of build that courage and confidence to go through things that we face in our daily lives and also to be kind and help other people at the same time, any way we can.
Right.
You know, I think it was just a really great message, and to be humble about it and just, you know, do the best we can.
That's a lovely message.
That really is. And that was your Father Tom. The Father Tom I was talking to,
yes.
and I'm just getting a ton
of
texts.
You get a couple of texts. Yeah.
Yeah.
About
Father
you.
Tom Mulcrone, who actually spoke at Larry Schreiner's service as well, and a dear friend of mine's father who passed as well, was the chaplain for many, many, many years, and Father Mulcrone retired.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So now we know more. Yeah, I love
but
both
that's
those
really
stories.
Cool, Jen.
You know, I was like, this was a great, you know, story. It was
it's
really good,
good
inspiration. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Let's take a break here. More with Jen Zanotti. She is the host of Getting Zen with Jen Z, WGNRadioPlus.com. You can also find her at JZ, Beauty and the Beast on Instagram, and Jen Zanotti.
Zanotti.com.
Excellent. We'll find out more about her beauty services and massage and Reiki.
Yes.
Is it Reiki alignment? It's chakra alignment.
It's chakra alignment. It's energy healing.
Energy healing.
Yep, and meditation.
And jujitsu with Serafin, jujitsu in Evanston. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, 720 WGN. Jitterbug. 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 Andrea, I just turned to Jen and I was like, can we talk about shopping?
Yes,
every show
please.
Today is talking about Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
And I
have not bought anything today yet. Have you?
I have not. I filled my cart at one point. I don't know about you guys. What was did you fill your cart at all? Your digital cart? Virtual cart?
I did fill my digital cart, but then I felt guilty. It was just this evening when I got here and I was logging on and, you know, and I thought I should buy something, but it was for me, so I didn't buy it.
I honestly, at one point, and Kasera, I don't know if you did any shopping today, or I had at one point, I'm not kidding you. I had 23 things in my virtual cart. And,
oh
I,
my
and, I,
gosh.
And I just clicked save for later, save for later, save for later. So I take a step back. And, yeah. and you know what? If it was the $6 or the $10 I was going to save, mm-hmm. You know, do I need it? Is that, or, you know, is it the best price? Whatever it was. But I also, I really did walk around my house and thought, I have so much stuff.
I know.
And so I turned to Jen while you were finishing up the news because I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to let a moment go by where we didn't address the fact that we keep collecting things, thinking it will make us feel better. And you mentioned mm-hmm. something I thought was a really good point. Tell us a little bit about buying different things.
Well, I'm very proud of you, first of all, because I feel like, you know, we think, oh my gosh, we want this, or just because there's a deal, it's like, okay, what can I get? Load it up. But you took time, you detached a little bit, you know, it took a moment, and it's like, what do I really need? Do I really need any of these mm-hmm. things? And of course, if there's something that's like a huge savings that you're not going to see or get, fine. But it's like, you don't need all this stuff. And I think when we're in this gift giving season, thinking about gifting someone with an experience or a service, something that can help with stress relief, or getting them into physical shape, like a workout or a massage or Reiki or pedicure, something where they're going to take time out for themselves,
right,
to enjoy, take a break, get away from the stress for a little bit, instead of just another thing. I feel like right. we have so many things in
yeah,
life.
We do.
And a lot of times we honestly can go out and get what we need if it's something we need. But we don't take the time or thought, I think, to spend money on ourselves when it's something to pamper us or taking time out of our schedule to be able to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think getting that as a gift is, you know, a wonderful thing, because then you will be able to enjoy it and you know you're not spending that.
Well, you have the idea of like, I get the idea, you know, maybe getting a spa day for someone, a massage, a pedicure, a manicure.
Mm-hmm.
But I always hear people talking about buying experiences, and those always sound really expensive to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start doing some research on maybe some things for the boys.
Well, I think even like looking at like Groupons or things like that, like those might be the deals.
Pardon
where
me.
You
Go
can
ahead.
Look at stuff, because there's so many activities you can do.
Right.
You know, and I'm just saying, yeah, spa services, things like that, stress relief, because I think we're dealing with so much stress right now, and people, that's the last thing we put ourselves last. And we don't always, you know, get that stuff for ourselves when it can be very beneficial. But an experience, trips and things, yes, those are great too, but they can be a little bit more costly. But more of something that's making memories or spending time with friends, family, yourself, whatever it could be, starting a new class. You know, there's
right.
a lot of activities, the classes like the painting or maybe a meditation class or yoga classes, anything that's going to be, I think, beneficial for your mind, body, soul is a good thing.
I think that is too.
Keep talking. Absolutely. I'm shopping on Groupon right now.
Or how about gift cards too, to go to lunch?
Right.
You know, like, hey, you know, wherever
I'll take
their
it for lunch.
Restaurant.
Yeah. Or their favorite restaurant. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's always great, because that's a fun experience that somebody can have.
Yeah.
And that is something that they probably won't want to purchase for themselves, because I think we feel a little bit guilty about spending that kind of money on ourselves.
Right.
So getting that as
right.
a gift.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
You know, because it's something then you can enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, with restaurant gift cards, that's not a bad idea for one, the reasons that you mentioned, but also there's a lot of places that give you $20 back as an incentive. So you also get a little something for yourself.
Oh,
yes.
That's right.
I know one of them in particular.
Do you want to share with
Well, let us entertain you. Just
they
as you know, my sister and brother-in-law both work for Wildfire. But they always, I think when you spend like $100 or you buy gift cards of $100, you get
right.
$25 back.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of places, you know, do that. So it makes gift giving easy.
And there are companies too. I just bought a new pair of glasses from Warby Parker, which Kim Gordon
Ooh.
Got me onto. I
nice.
Didn't realize when you buy, and I don't know if this is just for the holidays or if this is always,
mm-hmm.
when you buy a pair of eyeglasses, they will get a pair of glasses, reading glasses or eyeglasses, you know, for distance, for someone who I don't maybe is less fortunate or not able to purchase their own glasses.
I think they might do that all the time.
And Tom's does that too. So if you're looking to buy something and you want to give back or maybe support a company that does that, I know Tom's, for every pair of shoes that you buy, they will donate a pair of shoes
mm-hmm.
as well.
There's also a company, remember I talked about the laundry service that I used when Declan was in the hospital? They have a deal right now where if you buy a certain number of cards, you get like a $20 gift card.
Oh,
and if you've ever wondered, like, what it would be like to have the ability. So you can gift it to somebody maybe who just is really busy and just want, yes, you want to give them a break. Rinse is a great, or any laundry service. I don't want to, you know.
Even,
but that, like, was one I used. I loved it.
Cleaning services or food service, like, yes, meal prep, you know, mm-hmm, food services. And as talking about the healthy lifestyle, you know, if people don't have time to shop,
right,
for themselves, or even grocery gift cards are great. But if they don't have time for themselves to cook and they want to eat healthier meals, there's plenty of businesses out there that offer the meal prep services.
And the last one I want to say is, or we could say another one, but I there's a company I've mentioned before on the show that I use. I made my chili this week.
Yes.
Penzi's Spices make my chili, but they have all kinds of gift boxes. So if you are somebody who likes seafood, or if you like to, you know, you want meat or Caribbean, or all different kinds of, you know, maybe you make a lot of sweets, they have, mm-hmm, all different kinds of cinnamon. And you got me hooked on using turmeric with lemon, yes, and ginger. And yep, I use that from Penzi's. So they always, and there's a lot, but they're not the only spice company, but there's a lot of great spice companies. That,
but that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great suggestion.
You can always Google, like, companies that give back too.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
So you feel a little bit better about not just spending the money, you're also buying something.
You know, it's going towards a good cause or charity of some kind, which
all
is always
good
great.
Stuff. Yeah. Well, Jen, how can people find out more about all the great things that you do?
They can go to my website, jenzanotti.com, and that has all my beauty services, jujitsu, podcast information, everything is on there. You can follow me at Instagram at JZBeautyandTheBeast, and you can like my Facebook page, Getting Zen with Jen Z.
Excellent. We will see. I believe we'll see you next week. Let's do this again.
You got it.
I need to be motivated because let's see. If, you know what? We should make a commitment before Jen comes back. How many days? Let's say we work out. We put in at least a half an hour, 3 days between now and next Monday.
Okay. Done. Okay. Oh, I like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. That is great.
Hold ourselves accountable. And what we did, we'll check in with you next Monday.
And I have another
goal. And
I'm getting you back on the mats. Just saying.
Oh, yes. Yes. We should try jujitsu.
All right.
Yes. I don't know that we want to aggressively cuddle with each other. You'll probably learn too much about
me. Oh, I'm terrible. Are you kidding? I've never done it. So I should probably be with someone like at my level.
Yeah. Oh. We're all at the same level.
Exactly.
She's like the expert. You're an expert and you're good. You've done this a bunch.
No, I just
I'll go with Paul.
There
I
you
can
go.
Take Paul.
Yes. I like the way this is going.
This should be a new year thing.
Okay, I like that. All right. Yeah. I'm committing. More after this. Well, or I'll be committed. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. Ever since Mayor Rahm Emanuel announced that he would not be seeking re-election for one of the most important jobs in the United States, mayor of the city of Chicago, that more people raced to enter their names. But there were people who were already in the race, Andrea. And we actually talked to our next guest, Lori Lightfoot, who was someone you introduced me to.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Lori Lightfoot declared early on. And there were 21 candidates running for mayor
right now.
At one point, no. That
oh, there,
was
at
the
one
very
point, okay.
Beginning,
it's so many, and I believe petitions were due today.
Yes, petitions were due today,
and I'm pretty sure. Hello, Lori, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, ladies. How are you?
Very well. How did the petition gathering, the signature gathering, go for you?
You know, it went great, and we filed this afternoon, and it was a. I have to tell you, it was a really humbling moment to think about the. This little kid from Ohio who grew up in tough circumstances, having her name on the ballot for mayor of the greatest city in the country. So it was just an amazing experience. And my spouse and my daughter were there with me, along with a lot of the people who made it happen. So it was a great moment.
I believe Andre right now is trying to put together how many other people gathered signatures. And I'm curious, when you are gathering signatures, I mean, obviously you're out there, you know, knocking on doors at train stations, out on corners as people with heavy traffic. What kinds of conversations have you had with people from Chicago? What are they concerned about? And what are, you know, what have you tried to tell them about what your platform is?
Well, you know what, there's a couple of consistent themes that I experience in going through the petition process. One is that people are definitely hungry for change. I think they're sick and tired of the same old, and politicians showing up at election time, making a bunch of promises, but never delivering. So that resonated with me very deeply because I believe in the same thing. You know, and then beyond that, I think that there was, you know, every issue that you can think about, I've talked about everything from, of course, violence and affordable housing and municipal finance and taxes to, you know, what are your positions on animal welfare and, you know, other issues that don't necessarily rise to the top of the list. But, you know, look, people feel very deeply and passionately about their city, about their neighborhood, and about their community. So it was a tremendous, you know, ongoing dialogue with people as we were going through the petition gathering process.
Laura, you were in early, and I know that the deadline was today at 5 o'clock, but you were one of the first, I would say, three or four to say, I'm going to go ahead and do this. What are your thoughts on those who have either, and I'm not saying anyone specifically by name, but just the idea of those who waited to declare until after Rahm Emanuel said he wasn't going to run, or even those, you know, as recently as a week or two ago?
Right. Well, I mean, there's a couple things, right? One is they either thought that the city was operating just fine, or they didn't have the courage to take on Goliath. And they only showed up after the rest of us had slayed Goliath and drove him from the ballot. And I think that's a point that people just are struggling with, is if you really care about your city and you really feel like you can be a change agent and really articulate a vision that's different, then why be silent? Why wait until it's politically expedient? And as you well know, there are a couple people that were running simultaneously for different offices. So they were saying to the voters, yeah, vote for me for this, but I'm not really going to occupy this office because what I really want is this little shiny object over here. This is the third largest city in the country. There's a lot of greatness about our city, but there's also a lot of huge challenges that the next mayor is going to be absolutely called upon to take up, whether from municipal finance, getting our pensions straight, dealing with the crime, our public schools, and on and on and on. And if you don't have the courage of your convictions to stand up and be accounted for, you can't do this job. And that's my belief, but that's also something that I've heard from people all across the city over and over again.
Well, you mentioned that you grew up in Ohio, and, you know, Chicago is very much a, hey, you're not from around here kind of place in many ways. How have you worked to become one of, the people from the community? What has been your experience for those who are not familiar with your work in the city of Chicago?
Well, look, I've lived here for 32 years, right? I was lucky and got a full scholarship to University of Chicago Law School. I practiced law for a number of years. Then I went on to be a federal prosecutor in the criminal division of the U.S. Attorney's Office here. Took on public corruption, took on corrupt police officers, and then just worked in violent crime and working to make neighborhoods in the city and this district very safe. Worked at the Chicago Police Department and investigated allegations of police misconduct, police-involved shootings, went to the city's 911 center and helped lead a lot of efforts on homeland security and dealing with natural and man-made disasters. And then my last tour of duty at the city was the city's procurement department. I came in to clean up the mess that followed the exposure of the Duff case. Remember Jim Duff, who pretended that he had a woman-owned business and put up his elderly mother as the front? So I've taken on a lot of tough challenges, both in my professional life and also in my volunteer life as president of the Chicago Police Board and leader of the Police Accountability Task Force. So if you're looking for somebody who's independent, who has taken on tough challenges and proven herself, but in part because I believe very, very deeply in bringing in and engaging people whose lives are going to be affected by public policy, bringing them to the center first before we start the dialogue. If that's something that interests you in a very different vision of government and the relationship between government and people that isn't tied to the machine, isn't tied to special interests, then I'm your candidate.
Lori, your name, as well as Bill Daley, Paul Vallis, Susanna Mendoza, Tony Preckwinkle, these are very, in my opinion, this is the most crowded field of big names and recognizable names that I've ever seen in my experience in being in this business and from Chicago as well. What sets you apart? What should people look for when they see your name? They should say, you know what, these are your top priorities. What sets you apart from all of these other big names?
Well, I think that the difference for me is that I'm independent, and that I really do believe that you can't operate city government by acting upon people. I think you've got to put people first, really focus on equity and inclusion. And my independence and not being afraid to take on tough challenges I've been working very hard in the space of, like, recently of trying to reform the Chicago Police Department. But, you know, you said it at the top of the discussion. I jumped into this race in May when Rahm was still in the running, when things are looking bleak for people in our neighborhoods, and I didn't shy away from the challenge. So I'm a person who believes that you have to do the right thing, you have to stand up and be accounted for, and I think that independence and willingness to take on the tough challenges and also having the experience and the bandwidth to do it, I mean, a lot of people said, oh, yeah, I can do that, but they don't have any track record of success. They don't have any track record of experience. I do, and I think that's the thing that sets me apart. I'm not tied to the past. I'm very much focused on the vision of the city for the future.
We are talking to mayoral candidate Lori Lightfoot. We have more questions, if you don't mind, Lori, coming up after this break, if you could hang out with us a little bit longer.
Yeah, of course.
And we encourage texters and callers, if you want to join the conversation, if there's something you want to know. We have Lori Lightfoot on the line. You can call us at 312-981-7200. Again, that number to call or text is 312-981-7200. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Sarah should play this song coming back, because Andrea and Darlis and I off the air were talking about there's only ever been one woman who's been the mayor of Chicago, Mayor right. Jane Byrne, who actually won after Mayor Blandick goofed, dropped the ball.
With the
so
snow.
Poorly handled the yeah. snow in yeah. 1979.
Mm-hmm. And no female governor.
No, we've never had a female governor.
Crazy.
And it's sort of strange because we're pretty progressive, or, you know,
I think so.
We're pretty forward thinking state.
Yeah.
And joining us on the line is one of the candidates for the office of mayor for the city of Chicago. Lori Lightfoot joins us. Lori, is it strange to you that we haven't had any other female mayor since Jane Byrne or before even?
Yeah, I think that the fact that we've had such a long history of the city and that we've only had one female and only a one-termer, I think really doesn't speak well for where we are. But look, I think this is our year. This is our opportunity to make history in a lot of different ways. And there are a number of women that are on the ballot. And I hope to be the one who gets over the threshold as a victorious candidate. But I've heard from a lot of people, it's time for us to have change. It's time for us to have a woman. So I think the opportunity is absolutely there.
There's a texter who wants to ask, because I have questions that might get to the, well, there are a couple things that we want to talk about, but in particular, 773 says, I know there's a lot of waste in city government. I have friends in the Board of Election, mm-hmm. the Board of Education, pardon me, the Board of Education, the Police Department, Streets and Sanitation. There's a tremendous amount of waste. What will you do specifically to fix those issues?
Well, I'm very focused on the fact that we are squandering literally tens of millions of dollars every year. We don't have a risk management system in our city, which means that we don't have anybody whose job it is every single day to identify the waste, to identify the fraud, and do something to mitigate the risk and the fraud and abuse. So one of the first things I'm going to do is appoint a risk manager and make sure that person has all the resources that he or she needs to be able to do their job effectively. And again, as somebody who's worked in city government, myself, I know where a lot of the, frankly, bodies are buried. So I'm going to be very focused on making sure that we're trimming the fat. But we have a lot of hard choices we're going to have to make when it comes to municipal finance and dealing with our pension crisis. We can't go to taxpayers and ask for more if we can't demonstrate to them that we are going to be prudent fiscal agents of their hard-earned tax dollars. We can't say that now, but we'll be able to say that once I'm the mayor.
Lori, question for you. This actually, I was going to ask you a question along these lines as well, so I'm going to defer part of this to the texter. COPA, IPRA, obviously Police Oversight Board, they keep changing their names. Are you going to change the name along with their responsibilities? None of them seem to work as designed. What will you change? And my follow-up to that would be, A, are you going to keep them? And on a day where we buried a Chicago police officer today,
yeah.
Would some see you as being more anti-police?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at my record, the things that I have been advocating for a long time are making sure that our police department has legitimacy and integrity. Why is that important? It's important that people trust the police. it's important that people who are most in need of policing services, particularly in very crime-plagued neighborhoods on the south and the west side, believe that the police are there to help them. And you've got to break down those barriers and create trust. But you can't create trust if the police are not viewed as legitimate. And one of the things that I hear over and over, and I know from my own experience, is they want to make sure that officers who are intentionally engaged in misconduct are held accountable. Look, we're spending, in the last 7 years, over $500 million and counting in settlements and judgments related to police misconduct. And you can't blame that on opportunistic plaintiffs or plaintiff's lawyers. We have a big systemic problem that must be addressed. Having been a part of law enforcement and worked with really good police officers, and knowing that most of them come on the job for the right reason and remain on the job for the right reasons, we've got to give them the support by, frankly, weeding out their colleagues who are just not fit for duty. And that's something that we do that, we are going to support police officers and not harm them. Another thing that I've been a huge advocate for, and I particularly in light of the fact that we've had a number of police suicides this year, mm-hmm. is making sure that we have an officer wellness program that is worthy of the Chicago Police Department in the city. Right now, we have 3 counselors for 12,000 sworn officers.
Right, and 3 suicides in 3 months.
Right, and you cannot justify that lack of commitment and resources for officers who are themselves experiencing lots of trauma, lots of stress every single day. They deserve to have the resources that they need. And when they're stressed and they're overtaxed, there's no way that that's not going to show up in the way that they discharge their responsibilities every day on the street. So those are the things that I'm about. I'm about making sure that we've got a best-in-class police department. I want to have the best police department in the country, and one that really recognizes that having the community on your side is every bit as powerful a tool as your gun and your badge.
As important to communities as the police department is, obviously a lot of people are concerned about education. And the mayor yes. of Chicago, Mayor Emanuel, closed over 50 schools on the south sides and mm-hmm. communities that are already destabilized by the, you know, not having access to economic opportunities in many right. ways. And then charter schools are also seen as a drain on the communities or on schools that maybe could benefit from the resources diverted that way. There was one CEO of a charter school, or several charter schools, who was receiving salary that was more than was spent on special education programs. Are there any plans you have when it comes to addressing the issue of charter schools and the way they're run and the effect it has on schools?
Look, I'm a public school kid, right? So I'm very focused on the necessity of making sure that we've got first quality choices of public open enrollment schools in every neighborhood, elementary school and high school, every neighborhood in the city. And because of that, I want to make sure that for the time being, we have a moratorium on charter schools. But the charter schools can't be without oversight. It cannot be that we just treat them as another vendor who is supplying widgets. They're educating our children. We're paying them a lot of money. So there's got to be much more oversight over charter schools to make sure that they're delivering on the promises that they made and the contracts that they signed with the taxpayers of the city. That's got to happen.
I think a lot of people appreciate the fact that it is such a deep concern. We also were wondering, there was a guest we had on the show before. Andre, do you remember that night that Todd Belcourt was here when he was talking about the amount of investment mm-hmm. that goes to, yeah. You know, the Riverwalk and downtown real estate yeah. and things like that? He mentioned something that really caught our attention, which was, you know, he's looking for a mayor who will be the mayor of all of Chicago, that yeah. it makes everyone proud of every neighborhood in the city. What kind of plans do you have in that regards?
Well, that's precisely that, and I know Todd, and I share that sentiment. Look, we have done a lot of great things in the city, and we need to continue doing those things. We need to continue attracting business and making Chicago a well-sought-after tourist destination, but we can't do that and sacrifice our neighborhoods. One of the big reasons I jumped into this race is because I saw the gap between the haves and the have-nots growing. And particularly when you look at the lack of investment and the diminishing quality of life in our neighborhoods. You know, we are a city of neighborhoods. We pride ourselves on our diversity. We pride ourselves on the different, interesting places where people live throughout our city. But we've got to have a neighborhood investment strategy that is worthy of the people of the city, because what we also know is that Chicago remains one of the few metropolitan areas in the country that's losing population. People are leaving the city every single year because they don't see their future here. They don't believe that the neighborhoods are going to be uplifted. They're worried about violence. They're worried about taxes. They're worried about a lot of things that are not being addressed. So we can't survive as a city in the long term if we don't reverse this trend of exodus. And the only way we can do that is to have a comprehensive plan for uplifting the quality of life in neighborhoods.
And Patty and I think we hit our last question. Yes. We agreed on a last question for you, Lori.
Okay.
Only because Bill Daley, Gary McCarthy, and Gary Chico all had to answer this today when they were turning in their petitions.
What are your, I know what it is. You know,
we have to ask you about dibs, where you stand on dibs, especially with all the snow overnight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, look, I recognize that this is a long-standing thing in Chicago. You know, what I would love is that, frankly, we do a better job of cleaning our streets as effectively as possible so people don't have to worry about dibs.
Oh,
I get it. When you go out there and you clean out your spot, right, you know, I've seen everything from lawn chairs to
ironing boards,
trash cans, saw horses, small appliances. I mean, it's absolutely insane, right? But I get it. You know, people get out there, they take their snow removal very seriously.
Right.
Well, I will say this, and I was telling Andrea that I had an answer for this, too. I agree with everyone. I agree with the people who hate it. I agree with the people who love it. But in my household, what my husband does is he shovels his in the spare. He shovels one for us, dibs for that, and then the other one he just leaves empty for the block.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'm just saying.
That is very, very generous. So, and like I said, I really mean it. I'd love to see us have a level of efficiency in streets and sand and clearing the streets that people don't have to worry about dibs. You know, we were lucky today. It was a big flurry of snow, and then it kind of subsided by midday, and I think we're going to be pretty good for at least the next couple of days. Yeah. But look, it's Chicago. We know the worst is coming, and we've got to have a snow removal plan that gets to the side streets, that doesn't plow people in, and really works much more effectively, so we don't have to worry about dibs.
I agree. Well, we thank you so much, Lori. And I wanted to invite you. I don't know if you've had a chance to respond yet, but the Northwest Side Chicago Mayoral Candidates Forum, which is Tuesday, December 11th at the Copernicus Center, I'll be moderating that and hope that we see you there. I know that you've got a schedule, but just want to reiterate, we'd love to see you there.
All right. No, I think it's on our schedule, so I'll look forward to being there.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks, again, Lori.
Lori Lightfoot. You can find out more. Google her if you want to. You've got to learn about all your candidates. Have a great night, Lori.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy.
I don't know how to break it to kids around the world, but you're not getting a hippopotamus.
No, I know.
I've never understood.
Unless you adopt one at the zoo in name only.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to help with the care.
Yes.
And love of hippopotamus, you can donate to your zoo.
Yeah.
But there are so many great toys for Christmas. Every year there's something cool, but there is a classic that continues to evolve, and we are so thrilled to welcome into the studio. We have with us tonight Michael Valenta, who is from the family who created the incredible Magnetiles. Tell us a little bit about these fun toys that people recognize every time they've been someplace where there are, whether it's a children's museum or open play space, or maybe their friends' house.
That is right. Good evening.
Hello.
So we have Magnetiles. It's my family's company. I like to think of it kind of like the next generation of building construction, almost like Lego 2.0.
Yeah.
And so each piece, it comes in five basic shapes, is lined with magnets that always attract. So it's frustration-free. It's great for the kids. It's open-ended. There's no instructions. You just put it down in front of them, and they will instantly just get totally captivated in it and start building away.
You know what's so cool? It reminds me of almost like a Rubik's, kind of like a Rubik's cube combined with, like you said, a Lego. But there's cool shapes too. There's triangular, and there is, of course, I guess, square and rectangular. I made a Pac-Man.
Oh, there you go.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, so you can make anything.
Mm-hmm. And what you have is the Magna Cubics, which is new for us this year. Came out this summer.
Yeah, what's new about this?
So it's the same concept in magnetic construction. They're a little smaller. The magnets, to find polarity in those pieces, spin around.
Oh.
And so those are in prisms and cubes versus just 2D squares and triangles.
Well, and that's the thing about building with magnetiles is that as much fun as it is to create something new, is that the kids are also learning about magnets, mm-hmm. about shapes. You've got your squares, your triangles, your cubes, as you mentioned. And the idea that you can just keep going and figure out different patterns, right? Now, your imagination is the only thing that you have to work with, really, on these.
That's right.
I love that. Tell us about the... So you talked about the cubics and the new sort of development of... the ones that have like the... You can hear the magnets instead of being stationary. They kind of move around.
Yeah. So we have a new set called the Magnetiles Freestyle Set. And it's got this new patented piece for us. We're calling it the X piece because it has unique lattice in it. And on this piece, the magnets are not stationary. They move around. So they're in compartments.
Oh.
And so now you're not just restricted to the edges of the tiles to build. You can build overlapping. You can make arches. You can be off-centered. So really, it's truly no frustration for the child. And you can see the magnets move around and how they're effective with the polarity.
So if you buy, so the Freestyle and the Stardust and the new ones too, the Glow and the Ice, are they all compatible with each other if you get the different sets?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we should probably mention right now, because it's Cyber Monday, you have a deal going on right now, and I don't want anyone to miss out on an opportunity.
Yeah.
They have a couple more hours, but tell us about your Cyber Monday deal with the Magnetiles.
So our deal is an 80-piece surprise box, is what we're calling it. It comes in a storage container to keep the tiles, and you don't have to choose if you want the clear colors, the solid, the glow, or the stardust. It's a mix of 80 pieces.
Oh,
so you get all styles with 80 pieces, which is more than enough for one child.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless their mom and dad want to play with them too. Plus, the nice thing about these is, you know what? When you step on these, they don't hurt as much as Legos.
I was going to say, because they're so smooth.
I feel like Michael's heard that before. Is that one of the the bonuses?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're pretty flat. I mean, about how thick would you say that is for folks that want an idea of what these magnet tiles are like?
Maybe like a quarter inch to a half inch.
Right.
Okay, so what age groups? How young?
I'm not telling you how old I am. Stop.
No, I know.
You keep trying to find out.
How young? I know adult. Obviously, Patty and I have just proven that adults can play with these for hours on end. Mm-hmm. But how young? Because I have to buy for a 6 and a 7-year-old this year.
Okay, so on the box, it's 3 and up.
Okay. Oh, that's good then.
The cubics is a bit of a choking hazard. So if your child's still putting things in their mouth, definitely not the Magna cubics.
Okay. That's this, right? That's the triangular?
Right, the smaller one, yep. For the Magnetiles, it's not as much of a worry. We have had emails and messages from parents who have an older child, and their 2-year-old will also play with it.
Sure. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, and it's quite amazing to watch them progress, because in the beginning, they'll just stack them. They just like to stack the pieces.
Hence, 3 and up. Ages 3 and up. I'm making a tower.
You know, but I know you are, but to me, like, I don't know if I'm just getting older or that looks like the, you know, 7-day pill boxes.
Oh, yeah, it does. it does. Oh, that's fantastic.
That's too funny.
See, any age.
At any age. And you also have a set of stickers for one of the collections so kids can put different designs on them, too.
We do. So one of the things that we noticed is that Magnetiles are fun by themselves, but they're rarely played with by themselves by the children.
Right.
There's always a story with what they're building. Three kids can all build what looks like the same structure, and then you ask them about it, and it's either a castle or a garage. It's never the same story behind it. And so our new 28-piece house set comes with these reusable silicone stickers with a house theme on it to kind of round out and enhance their play.
That's kind of cool.
Really cool.
So this is your family business, obviously. Mm-hmm. How much of a challenge has it been over the years to keep it fun and educational? Because you want to learn and you want to play.
Yeah, so we got our start in schools. So the real experts are the teachers. It's a STEM product, but I like to call it more of an educational tool, because while your kids play with it and use it, they are kind of experiencing all the educational aspects to it, but really they need that teacher or the parent to give them the push to bring it in, ask the questions that are provoking critical thinking by the child. So we go to trade shows all the time. We were just at one for early education, and that was awesome hearing from the teachers and all the fun activities that they do with it in the classroom.
Well, and I have to imagine that there's also, for kids who have, like, sensory issues, too, there's a lot of different ways, like, if they want to look through them because they, you know, mm-hmm. they've got all the different colors. You know, they've got almost like a stain. When you put them together, I know that the Children's Museum in Glenview, I don't know if they still have that table there, but it's a light-up table, so it does look like you're making, like, artwork, too.
Yeah, the light-up tables are great. Same with putting them against a window.
Right.
With the sun coming through is a lot of fun.
Your own little prism.
Yeah.
That's cool. I would have never thought about that. Like, you can look through them, and you become a prism.
Exactly. We are talking to Michael Valenta. He is, his family created this is your dad's creation?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yep.
This is so cool. Let's find out more about that story. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We're talking to Michael Valenta, who is now the Vice President of Marketing and Product Development for the company, for Valtech. Got all fancy now. And where can people go to get their Cyber Monday deal with Magna Tiles?
So it's exclusively available on our website at www.magnatiles.com.
To magnatiles.com. Now, Andrea, I want to note that we've been asked before to let people know. You don't have to say, as a young person, you should know. All I have to say is magnatiles.com.
That's correct.
Perfect.
I love it. Everybody always says it. My mom still does it. She goes, www.
I know, right?
More after this on 720 WGN. Do your kids love building stuff? Do you want them to learn about colors and shapes and putting things together to make their imaginations come to life? Andrea's building all kinds of stuff.
I can't stick to my microphone.
I had like all walls. I was like, okay, I gotta put this.
You have a house though.
I didn't. I have the parts to a house. I did not build a house. I have the box for the house. And that's one of the boxes I was asking, what are these? There's stairs. You can build a roof with triangles or build a stairway going up to the next level.
Yeah.
This is taking on a whole new phase of Magna Tiles, and we are joined in studio by Michael Valenta, whose dad created. Did he create Valtech? What was the inspiration behind this? What made him want to build these fun toys that have had such an impact on so many kids?
You know what? He's a tinkerer, and this product was being sold in Japan, and he's the one that brought it to the U.S., North America, and Europe. But it's funny how watching you guys play in touch with them. Because we recently had Friendsgiving at our house, and I just had a set out on our coffee table.
Sure.
And without bringing attention to them or anything, my friends started playing with them, and they just reverted back to little kids.
Yes.
They would build something and say, nobody touch it. You know, they were fighting over pieces and seeing who could build the biggest tower.
Right.
It was hilarious.
It's so cool, too, because like you guys have been saying, parents can get, or adults, can get involved with these. And just, you know, the sky's the limit with what you can build. Although I like Patty's house, even though you haven't built it yet. Yeah,
it's a picture of a house that I could build. It
looks like stained glass.
I have all it does. It's very pretty. What was it like having to, you know, having all these toys around you when you were growing up?
It was fun, but I did not have unlimited Magna Tiles because that was when my dad was just kind of starting out. So a lot of it was inventory, you know, but my siblings and I had our own sets and it was always a blast. They never got put away.
Did you guys, were you the test subjects on occasion? Like, all right, play with this, see if this can keep them occupied.
Yeah.
And otherwise it's a go.
And I think we enjoyed it a little too much because we were always asking my dad for more pieces, but he kept those under lock. So.
And you mentioned earlier going off to, like, whether you have conferences or doing demonstrations, like, because this is something where, you know, kids have all these tech toys. You know, what are the ways that you encourage this sort of play as compared to that, and or to be side by side, or to, you know, sort of complement it?
It's just captivating in itself, and the child is building a storyline in their mind that I don't think it's possible to watch TV and play with the Magna Tiles, and so they get so engulfed in it. And it's great because we get pictures and emails from parents all the time saying they were playing with their kids and they'd send their kid to bed and they'd stay up for another 20 minutes just playing with it.
I love that. And you have so many different shapes coming out. Andre, we were talking about the Cyber Monday deals. Did you go shopping already for all your
I did not. No, yeah. I started to shop, and then I got into shopping for myself. You know, because there were just certain things I'm like, oh my God, that sweater is only $12 today.
Right.
So I did. I filled up my cart, and I have not gone back.
Oh, how funny. Well,
but the night is young.
It is. Well,
3 more hours.
And for those who are curious about Magna Tiles, you can go to magnatiles.com, and they have a special holiday promo. promo, which is an 80 piece. It's 80 pieces. So does that come with all the like triangles and squares and different sizes and shapes that go into the storage box as well? Is that right, Michael?
That's right. You get a storage container with it. You get 74 of our 5 basic shapes in various different styles, and then you'll get 6 unique pieces, whether that's an arch, a car, a door frame, and it's the best deal that we have per piece on our website.
That's very cool.
And it's just for Cyber Monday?
Just for Cyber Monday.
What? Get the deal now. You've only got a couple hours left.
I know. These are awesome.
I do enjoy the fact that you incorporate, you know, let people, you know that this is a way for kids to explore science and math. Talk a little bit about the math part of it, because science, I kind of get as far as, you know, the magnets and the, you know, whether it's, you can feel the resistance, you can tell when something's going to fit with the other piece and when it's going to stand up, or if it's going to just kind of, you know, you have to fit it another angle. What about the math part of this?
So if you think about kind of the foundation of math, a lot of those concepts are a bit abstract for children. And so it's a great manipulative, especially in the classroom, to teach them addition, subtraction. Fractions is great with them. If you take any 4 of our pieces, it makes a larger of the same shape with the 4 together. So you could take one away, and then it's easy for the child to understand, you know, that's 3/4.
How often do you hear from teachers about how effective these are with teaching kids these elements?
Every day.
Every day? Because you're hearing from one right now. From the 312, I teach for CPS and I bought magnet tiles, the solid and clear, for my classroom out of my own pocket. They are played with every single day. Thank you. They're awesome, creative products.
That's fantastic.
So there you go.
That's
another,
so cool.
Another teacher's stamp of approval right there.
I have to ask, you were talking a lot about STEM, and I know a lot of people, maybe who don't have kids yet, are not completely familiar with STEM programs and STEM projects. Expand on that a little bit and how this really is such a wonderful tool for a lot of the STEM programs. And
so STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. It's a very hot topic this holiday season, especially with the toys. I like to think of these more educational tools, because just by itself, it's not going to teach those concepts to your kid when they play with it. It's really with the teacher or the parent there to ask the critical thinking questions that allows them to then enter those STEM topics, whether it's fractions, shape recognition, or the magnetism and how those work together.
Well, the other thing is, you know, we mentioned Legos, which obviously classic toys as well, and building toys in a different way. The thing about this is these are neutral. And by that, I mean, you know, because what they'll do for other companies is they'll be like, well, here's the girl version of this.
Yes.
They're going to build a beauty salon, or they're going to build, you know, a fire truck, which boys and girls can like.
Right.
But this is whatever, as we mentioned, is in your own imagination, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it's a little boy or girl. So it's great for both.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially families with multiple children. It's a great activity that everyone can play with. They don't have to be the same age. You know, you can have your 3-year-old playing with your older sister that's 6. And it keeps them all occupied. And they teach each other. One of the stories that a teacher told us is she loves when the children are playing, they'll fight over the squares because they all want to build higher.
See, like build towers.
A child will come up and say, can I borrow one of your squares? And so they don't want to give up a square. So they'll say, here's 2 right triangles. And if you put them together,
you have
a square.
Right. You can trade your pieces.
I love that.
And some have something that I loved growing up to, stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the kind that kind of adhere, but they're not sticky on the back, are they?
Yep, they're silicone stickers.
Right.
So it's not
reusable.
Like, yeah, there's no glue on them.
Cool. Yep.
That's awesome. Now I have to ask, how did you get? Because you went off and started your own career, working for Deloitte, right? And then in real estate. What brought you back into the family business?
You know, just to help out my dad and to come back. It was growing. They needed help. We were expanding. And I thought it was a great opportunity to come back and get to be closer to my family.
Aww,
and play with
sweet.
Toys all day.
Yeah,
come
no
on.
Kidding.
No matter,
toys,
your office is like the movie Big.
Well, we want to thank you so much. We've been talking to Michael Valenta from Magnetiles. You can go to magnetiles.com, designed to promote imagination and creativity. This is really wonderful. And I'm often jealous of family businesses, of the ones that do well and where the kids come back. It's always nice that the next generation is there for their family. So thank you so much, Michael. It was wonderful talking to you. And please give our best to your family.
Thank you, Michael.
At this holiday season. And thank your dad for bringing this. No, really. I mean, you
These
know,
awesome.
This is so great for so many kids. Extend our deepest thanks.
And adults.
For adults, for us, for both of them too.
Thanks for having me.
Of
thanks.
Course, our pleasure. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, 720 WGN.
Do you remember?
thank our friends from Magna Tiles. And we have a couple listeners asking questions from 847. Wow, you just solved my problem with what to get boys 7 to 9. Was there a Cyber Monday discount code? And we believe you go to magnatiles.com.
Yes.
And that special offer is available on the website.
And so, I believe it also, there's free shipping on orders over $50.
Boom. There you go. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Jasmine, if you're listening, you can give us a call, 312-981-7200. I know she was in a call after the 9:30 news, and we look forward to hearing from her. We mentioned in past, well, we were asking mm-hmm. Lori Lightfoot about dibs.
Yes.
And I know.
And you had a good dib story.
Well, it's very controversial in the city of Chicago.
Oh, it completely is. And you know what? I'm born and raised in the south suburbs, but never lived on my own. Well, I had roommates and stuff until I was about 24, moved to the city, and got my first apartment. And that was my first example with dibs. I had two roommates, and we parked on the street, and I would see people shovel it out and put chairs there. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's crazy that they do that. Until, I want to say it was 96, it was... probably December of 96 or January of 97, it was that horrible snowfall. I mean, I had to climb like over a pile of snow just to get into the front doorway of my apartment.
Sure.
So we shoveled out my car, my one roommate's car, my other roommate's car, and we all put chairs out there.
I thought
we must have spent an hour and a half. And at that point, I understood dibs.
I don't know if before we bought property on the Northwest Side, I think I lived in an apartment in Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just kind of took my chances. Steve will have to remind me if we did it when we were living over there. But when we moved to Jefferson Park, Steve would go out there. And the thing is, our whole block would be out there, like almost like a shoveling party, be out there with beers and shoveling and stuff. But what he would do, and the thing is, we also have a handicap spot for Declan because we qualify for placards for him. So that spot's already reserved. So, and it's funny because the neighbors told us they were so grateful that we actually got the handicap spot. Because it lines up everybody else. We're the first spot.
Yes, and where they should go instead.
It puts everybody in a line for the most part, except for the people who like leave like 5 feet in front of them. But that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
But what Steve will do is for every car you have, you shovel one for your car and then you shovel a spare if you're going to do dibs. That's his rule.
That's really
nice. You leave one empty for somebody else.
So he'll shovel a spot.
Right.
And then the one in front he'll shovel that and have it ready for someone.
Right.
That's really cool. I like that idea.
It's aggressive.
That's a pay it forward.
It's aggressively nice.
That is aggressively nice.
Yeah, but he's out there always doing that.
I used to love, I understand dibs. I'll say that now. You know, I shouldn't say, yes, I'm for it or no, I'm against it. But
right.
I do understand it. I mean, because I've been there. You know, you've been there and your husband's been there shoveling out. And it takes a long time, especially with the bad snowstorm. And you want to just go to work and have your spot back.
Right.
You know, it might not be legal, but I always enjoy seeing what people put out there.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my. Like an ironing board with an iron on top of it, you know, just for decoration.
It's buckets and two pieces of plywood.
Yeah, vacuum cleaners.
It's crazy. We actually, we try to use, I've seen strollers. I've seen big kids' toys.
Yes.
Which is sort of, you feel sad for those kids.
Wagons, mm-hmm. things like that.
Some people get all official and they'll use orange cones.
Oh, I know.
You're like, okay,
that can't be legal. But I don't know.
Casera, are there dibs in your neighborhood?
There's dibs in my driveway.
Well, that's your driveway is yours then.
There's heavy dibs in the driveway because someone ends up either on the streets or in the grass near the streets.
Ah, right. And so is it like whoever gets there first gets it?
No, I refuse to park on the street because last year my car got hit in a hit and run on the street.
Oh.
Yeah, so now we have the dibs. But they know I will not park on the street. I will call someone in the house and tell them.
Move a car.
We have to move a car now. Yeah.
And well, that's hilarious.
It is interesting. I was noticing on the pages, like the community pages for Jefferson Park, mm-hmm. people were talking about not just dibs. Like if you do move someone's stuff, that becomes territory issues. People will get...
Want to move anybody's stuff.
I would never do that. No. My mother taught me that. Cool. And I've never lived in the city, but I know better.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
You don't do it. And you can be frustrated by it, not like it. And that's one thing. And like I said earlier, I agree with all of you. Your opinions are all correct.
Right.
If you hate it, if you love it, if it doesn't affect you, you are all correct, because there's just something there for everybody. I mean, this is a very, it gets very emotional because you put in the time, you put in the effort. Lori Lightfoot was mentioning that she wishes street cleaning was easier, which is nice to say, except if it snows while your car is there, you have to shovel your car out. Right. And the thing is, if street cleaning comes along, they actually often bury your car in the snow that they're plowing on the street.
I've had that happen as well, too.
And And then you have your neighborhood, you know, the heroes who are plowing the alley, only then they put it wherever. And that's what's happening in my neighborhood, is you come to this intersection piled with all this snow, and you can't move, and there's another car coming because it's not professional. It's not done the right way.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And people are plowing in. Like, there was somebody came through our alley. They plowed, and then it put snow all up against some of the garage doors. Now you can't. Now you got to shovel that.
I know.
Whereas if we'd just been able to pull out, it might not have been a problem.
And it's even worse, because last night, with this storm, was crazy, because it started out rain and then sleet and then just snow and wind. And this morning, I couldn't even get out the back door. You know, because it was solid ice between the door and the step. So I'm trying to just open the door to get out. But we brought this up, as you said, because Lori Lightfoot, where she said she would try and have a snow removal service, you know, to get all the side streets done quicker, which I'm all for that, too, because I live on a side street as well. But Bill Daley was asked. He said, I'm nowhere on dibs, but he wouldn't outlaw it. Gary McCarthy says it's a bad idea. It just causes conflict. And he said, it's a campaign issue. I'll work on that. And then Gary Chico said, he had the funniest answer, I thought. He said, you know what? I'll say this about dibs. This is a quote from ABC. I used to do it myself, okay? Whenever I'd shovel out my parking space, I'd put a chair, I'd put a bench, I'd put a 2x4, whatever I had there. If you think you're going to spend an hour shoveling out, an hour and a half shoveling out your space, you ought to be able to use it.
And I think that they've got a point there. There's some, like, and as I said before, your opinions are all correct.
Right.
I know it doesn't help anybody.
No.
I agree with all of you.
I can definitely say, though, the weirdest answer was Dorothy Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Who's running for mayor of the city of Chicago.
Uh-huh. While under investigation. I'm sorry.
Yes. She's not familiar with dibs.
No. No, no, no.
No.
No. I'm sorry. You know what?
I'll
bet
you
something else. I'll bet you she puts ketchup on a hot dog.
Oh.
Ew.
I'm saying, if you're going to be from Chicago and say you are not familiar with dibs.
And then someone explained it to her,
mm-hmm.
and she said, oh, well, we don't do dibs in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh, sure. Sure, yeah. I believe that. Well, the other thing that came up in the conversation in the neighborhood forums online was that it grew beyond just dibs, but there are people who will come outside and yell if you park in front of their house, no matter what day of the year it is. Snow, sunshine, they don't want you parking in front of their house.
That's a very real thing. I heard stories about that from when my mom was
a kid. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that side, too.
That one, dibs, I as I said, I see all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are good people on all sides of this one.
Right.
But if you're mad that someone's parked in front of your house.
I know.
What if someone's visiting, or that's the spot that's open and you're just trying to get home or go to visit somebody?
I know.
You don't think people should be able to park on a public street just because it's in front of somebody else's house?
Again, I could see both sides of that.
Wow. That one? No snow.
When I didn't own property, I didn't care.
Is it crowded on your street?
It is.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of why.
Do you have a garage?
I do.
Okay.
And so, I usually just end up in the garage. Yeah.
You just end up in the garage.
Yeah. I usually end up in the garage.
I'm just curious. I mean, I get the frustration of not being able to park in front of your property, but.
Right. Right. And you know what? I like having, and I've had both of this as well. I've alley parked, where I've had to pull in the garage through the alley. I've had no alley and had to park in the street. So, I mean, I've had it all.
Okay.
You know, so I've been there, done that with all of it.
Oh, boy. This is impressive. And I'm sorry to hear, Joyce. Why did you move from the city of Chicago?
Well, probably that's one of the major three reasons I left. I just got fed up year after year. When I would be one of these people that figure that, gee, if we all did our little part in our apartment building, our house or whatever, everybody did their part. Everybody would have a parking space during the wintertime. And every night I would come home late from work. I'd be shoveling out someplace, park my car, go to work the next day, come back, and go through the same process again. Because I really got tired of people parking space for the rest of the year because they shoveled it out one time, so that belongs to them. Considering we're all taxpayers in the city, I guess I kind of feel I'd like to see people work together. And I just got fed up with Daley and then Rahm Emanuel coming in and saying the same thing and making a joke about it. It would make more sense to me if we had leadership in the city that said, no, that's wrong. We want to see people work together, because that kind of tells the kind of person you are in many respects if you're going to do that one time and then it belongs to you. We're all taxpayers.
Yeah, I could see that side too.
Joyce, I have to ask, what neighborhood did you live in?
Rogers Park.
Oh, Rogers Park is really a densely populated neighborhood too. It's a lot of apartment buildings, right?
Yes, but I lived in West Ridge, West Rogers Park, Rogers Park. It wasn't like that when I moved there, and I won't tell you how long ago, but a long, long time ago. You know, people were cooperative, and in the neighborhood, they just seemed to be considerate of other people. But as the years went on, and then again, when you have leadership like Daley or Rahm Emanuel or anybody, in you know, whether it's Tony Preckwinkle, who says, oh, no, that's the behavior. You know, we can do that in Chicago. That's okay. Then people think it is okay. And, you know, I would rather see the city use the resource and say, hey, we got trash in front of this house here, whether it's lawn chairs or boxes or whatever. We're going to pick it up, and if it continues in front of some buildings, you know, we're going to start knocking on doors and start giving some kind of penalty to people who do that. And I think it would stop. I would rather see people work together than feel that, you know, they own that street in front of their house all the time for months to come.
As I mentioned, I am flummoxed by the fact that there are people who think the spot does belong to them all year round.
Yeah.
I think is different than Dibs. I don't know. This horse seems like it's left the barn and it ain't coming back. I don't know if you can change this sort of a trend or you know, just habit. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
It's maybe, become one of those things.
It
just got to be too much for me. And like I said, it was just one of several things that finally I just got fed up and I said, I just can't take this anymore, because I guess I just don't fit in when I like to see people work together and help each other out. It was just another, pin that broke the balloon or so.
Right.
I said, that's it. I'm going. But thank you so much for bringing up this topic.
Thanks,
you're
Joyce.
Welcome, Joyce. I'm glad you appreciate
right,
it. Thank you, Joyce.
I could see that. I definitely could see all sides of this issue because, again, been there, done that. I've lived in apartments. I've parked on the I've street parked for years, had a garage, I've had alley parking. But I do think that, you know, whatever your position on Dibs is, it shouldn't be all year round. It should just be for, so yesterday we had a big snowfall and people were shoveling out today. If it is acceptable, if that's kind of the general rule of the block or
right.
your neighborhood,
then consensus.
Maybe until the snow melts or maybe through the weekend.
Okay.
You know, it shouldn't
wow.
be weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
No, it should not be weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And get that garbage in your house. Get that off the streets. People leave it on the parkway.
I want to see your vacuum cleaner.
Oh, my God. Get that crap out of the street. 312-981-7200. Are you with Joyce? Do you think that it should be something where you could be penalized for it? Should you get a ticket? Should the city come around and get that garbage out of the streets? I don't know. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. Did you see Pat Thomasulo's post today?
No.
That it's the first day of Why the Hell Do I Live Here Again of the year.
That's so true. Don't you, you know what? You and I are born and raised in the city or, you know, in this area.
Yeah.
I always say the same thing, too. I'm like, will I someday leave?
Oh, I know. You know? I'm never leaving.
Even when you retire? Even when you're...
This is it.
Retired, you're here forever? You're not going anywhere warm?
What I've always wanted to do was what a lot of my dad's friends did. They were all firefighters or cops. They always had a winter home. So my dad's friend Desi has a place down in Florida. So like for 3 months out of the year, I don't know if it's a condo that they share. Yeah, something like that. I don't think I could ever move. I've never visited someplace and thought, I really wish I could move here. I've always enjoyed my vacations in different places, but whenever I leave, I've never felt like, oh, I wish I could stay another day. I'm always looking forward to coming back home.
It's days like today, I think I could absolutely live somewhere warm year-round.
Year-round,
but yeah. I'd always want to keep a place here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a condo or townhome or something here, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, give me a few more weeks.
Right. This is November, first snowstorm of the year.
Here's John wants to join the conversation. Hey, John, what do you want to say?
Oh, I was listening to your conversation about dips. I've been watching that for years. I think it's pretty entertaining, really. like you both say, each side has got a case. The people that want to carry it on all year long are going a little too far. But if you shovel it out, I guess it should be yours for a minute. But anyway, I think a bigger question, what I'm scared about, is I come into Chicago a lot. I visit friends and stuff. Now,
what was it?
Okay, the thing with the no parking after 2 inch snowfall on major thoroughways, okay, on those occasions when it does snow, those cars that would ordinarily park there, and if you add up all those signs and streets and stuff, that's literally hundreds and hundreds of parking places. What happens to the cars that would ordinarily park there? What are they supposed to do now?
I agree.
What do they end up doing?
Side streets. Yep, they have park on the side streets right in front of other people's houses. No,
but those are already gone.
And they're all
dibbed. Side street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, a lot of them are dibbed. And then another thing, like the parking in Chicago is so limited and cramped up that when there's, a foot of snow near the curb, you almost don't have room to go in and out of one of those little places. You could easily get stuck and stuff.
Yeah.
Right, and get stuck in the alleys, too. Patty and I were just talking about that, too. You know, they don't plow the alleys. They'll send a garbage truck down.
Right. Yeah,
right,
but that's it.
Right, or like one of you said before, some guy thought he was doing you a favor, but he plowed the snow up against your garage door, and now that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And believe me, I am grateful. There have been times that I've been incredibly grateful for, you know, Johnny come lately with the plow,
right?
With the neighbor, with his Ford pickup truck, and plow on the streets, you know, out of his own time. But sometimes somebody's going to get the short end of that stick,
right?
Whether it's the car at the end of the block where the there's a big, or
where they put the pile.
Yeah, there's this whole spot.
Okay, but the real question in my call was the two-hour thing with the snowfall and no parking on, say, like major streets like Ashland, Damon.
Right.
Pick one. So what are those cars in the city supposed to do? Would just disappear or something? That's got to be hundreds and hundreds of cars. What do those people end up doing?
That's a really good question. I actually got towed when I first moved to the city. I wasn't aware of the rush hour. I mean, now everybody who lives in most people who live in the city are familiar with the rush hour. You know, you can't park on any of the major streets from, what is it, like 5 to 9 in the morning or 6 to 9?
Some of them, yeah.
A.M. And then P.M., usually it's 4 to 6. You can't park. I parked by the Art Institute. I came out. My car was gone. I should have known better. And who I felt really sorry for were the tourists.
Yeah, they have no idea.
They had no idea.
Don't see it coming.
Well, they don't see it coming.
Hey, for my money, listen, a lot of those traffic regulating signs on given streets, they do not do a good job of making themselves clear often.
Well, they're all like word problems.
Yeah.
They're all very complicated. Right.
Well, they're not very clear. Some of them aren't. It's not quite. You can't really be positive what they're telling you.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, that was the whole thing.
I appreciate it, John. Yeah, no, good points. I do wonder, those cars don't just evaporate. I'm guessing people have to park way far away from home.
Oh, yeah.
Walk home in the cold,
yes.
You know, because all the major streets near their houses have become no parking zones during the snowfall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a pain in the butt.
It is a pain. Oh,
my God. I'm not moving, Andre. You can't make me move.
I know.
You can't make me move.
This is only the first snowfall.
Well, and I am curious.
First one of the year.
You mentioned earlier that it makes sense that there are some people who, you know, there are neighbors who are very territorial And there are neighbors who are in, they don't take into consideration the space of others,
mm-hmm.
right? That they take right. advantage. And my block, for the most part, okay, there's a story of I was telling a bunch of comics yesterday. We had had street cleaning coming down our street and they hadn't gotten everything. So they were going to come back through and they told my husband, hey, we're going to come back through again. So don't move your car yet. And I saw one of our neighbors, pull his car back around. So I trotted down the block to let him know, right. hey, street cleaning's coming back around. You know, just want to let you know, don't park here again. That was my intention. And that was exactly what I said. This big guy opens a door, you know, and I'm standing there with a smiling face. I'm like, yeah. hey, just want to let you know, street cleaners are coming back around. He goes, go F yourself.
Oh, nice.
And I was trying, honestly, Andrea, to this, how long ago? It was 6 years ago.
Oh my God.
And I'm still trying to figure out, like, what in the sentence of, hey, just want to let you know, the street cleaners are coming back around. You might get a ticket if your car, because it's still no parking until 3 p.m.
I know. They can be done at noon, but you still can't park there until 3.
You still can't park there. And I still, I'm like, was it something that happened? Was it how I said it? Was there some other situation that came up? And it was a couple of years, like every time I would drive down the street, I would just like, I want to throw something in his car. I'm like, that guy was such a jerk to me.
Yeah.
And then he's been really, like, he saw us out with Declan, who's, you know, this really sweet kid who doesn't talk and is just, you know, exploring the block, and he goes, hey buddy, how you doing? He's really nice to Declan, and I still can't let go of the go F yourself.
Oh no.
More after this on 720 WGN. I guess he's nice. Listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us is comedian Paul Farbar Esquire, who's also a regular host of The Night Side with rotating sidecars, I guess, with Dr. John Duffy.
Yes.
And with who else?
Michael Heideman. Yeah.
Ryan Dempster. Yeah, that was a fun show.
Yeah, we're going to do another one December 13th with Ryan.
Excellent. And you have lived in Chicago your entire life.
I have.
And he has a covered parking spot.
I do.
Under his condo.
Oh, you do?
So.
Yeah.
How's the alley? How does your alley get
maintained? Alley is bad. If you don't have four-wheel drive vehicle, it's bad.
Yeah.
I had a rental when my last car got totaled, and it made me have to buy a new car because mm-hmm. I couldn't get in on my alley.
Because of all of this,
yeah.
Snow?
Yeah, when they don't fix it. Yeah, because
they plow
it
in.
With snow. Yeah, you get plowed in.
You get plowed in. Taxi driver Bob has some thoughts. Hey, I think that sounds like this sounds like something happened to you, taxi driver Bob. How are you doing?
My question is, did the guy pretended not to remember you? When he saw you with your son,
when he said,
the guy who told me to go F myself.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know. I have to talk it up to him having a bad day, or he was mad about something else, or he was tired from illegally blowing his leaves into the street with a gas leaf blower. I don't know. Cause that's what happened that day. But, I don't know.
Anyway, so last night at about 10 o'clock, I'm driving a customer up the Lake Bluff. And I'm in, like, the second to the left lane over, like, right around Deerfield Road, just north of Deerfield Road. Right. And I'm going 55 miles an hour, and it's snowing, like, 2 inches in an hour or whatever. It was coming down really, really, really heavy, and the road was filled with snow and slush. And I wasn't looking in my rearview mirror. I figured, you know, what's the point? There wasn't that many cars, and, you know. All of a sudden, a tanker truck comes on the far left lane, which they're not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be in the two right lanes, not the far left lane. And he's going like 65, 70 miles an hour. He goes around me and just covers me in a wall of snow and slush. I came close to losing control of the vehicle because I couldn't see where the heck I was going. And that individual that was driving that tanker truck, which I don't know what was inside that tanker truck, but if it was gasoline or some kind of hazardous waste or whatever,
right?
You know, you just wonder what is in the minds of these lunatics. And he knew what was going to happen by him driving past me like that, that I was not going to be able to see at all.
I know.
And
look, we know they got somewhere to go. Just like you're a cab driver and you've got, you know, places to go, but you got to take your Lyft's you know, your passengers to their destination. I do wonder if truck drivers have any advice for those of us who get buried in that, because they do kick up a tremendous amount, whether it's raining or snow, in particular when there are high winds. I have been in that tunnel of snow in the kickback from the semis, and you just kind of go, well, I hope that when I get through this, I'm not running into something.
Exactly.
Yeah, but this person didn't belong in that lane. It was one thing if he was in a lane that he belonged in, and secondly, he knew what the repercussions of him what he was doing was going to happen to me. Why in the wide world of sports would you do that to somebody?
Yeah, right. I know.
You know, and he there was no. First of all, I had a customer in the car, but catching up to him, I had a lot of expletives sure. coming out of my my mouth, but not verbally, because I had a customer in the car. But I mean, I was just under my breath. But yeah. I mean, I just don't get. There's so many lunatics on the road. It's just and when it's weather like that, I've been doing this for, you know, I was driving Fram's limousine when your father was over there. So I've been doing it for a really long time. And as I get older, my foot gets lighter and lighter on the pedal. And you just know what the repercussions are from driving, you know, driving that fast in those kind of conditions, whether you have traction or not. I have all-wheel drive on my minivan. So, I mean, I could drive fast if I want. But, you know, there's stopping capabilities just like everybody else. And you can't lose control of your vehicle, even though you do have all-wheel drive. Yep. You just have to dial it down.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
And to do that with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Bob. We've all been there. We've all been at the mercy of someone blowing past us. I don't know how you get them to stop, and it is frustrating and it's scary. And ultimately, all I can say is I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You guys have a great night.
You too. Thanks, Taxi Driver Bob.
That is the worst, though. And you know what else is really bad too? And I know people can't help this. It just is. When someone has an SUV or a larger car, and they, you know, it snows, like it snowed a ton Sunday and Monday. Well, Sunday into
Monday
morning.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't clear the top off.
Oh,
so they're
that's
dry.
Illegal.
I know. I hate that. You know, when they say, oh, they
can't
reach
the top.
Yeah,
you had a problem with that once, too.
And then these chunks just fly into your car.
I don't know if I've ever shown you. I haven't shown Audrey this video.
I remember that story. Yeah.
Oh, yes, you did. With the guy who couldn't see out the front window.
Yeah. Right.
That's so wrong.
He had like 6 inches of snow. He thought he would just like pull it out of this parking lot. Steve and I were in front of him.
And he hit you, right?
And he hit us. There was another car in front of us, and we saw him coming, and there was nothing we could do. I don't know. I just don't understand what he was even thinking, that he would even roll with his entire windshield was covered.
Covered.
I have video of it. We posted it on Instagram. We sent it to his insurance company.
Right. It almost looks
like called
a
the
joke.
Police.
Like,
how
could he drive when he has, you know, 6 inches of snow piled on his windshield?
It was incredible. Yeah, it is appalling the kind of behavior that happens in this kind of weather. What were you going to say, Paul?
No, I just remember that happened with you, and now like I carry the brush in the back seat of my car, so I don't have to deal with that. Because I don't wear gloves, so when it's like snowing, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do
that. You don't wear gloves ever?
I try not to.
Is it a guy thing? Because I notice so many men just, you know, women will like bundle up, we'll put our scarves on and our hats and our gloves, but I see so many guys...
I don't like wearing gloves. I don't know why. It's a weird thing.
I knew this was going to happen because we have so many great truckers that listen to the show. I knew we would be hearing from them. So I think let's see what Glenn has to say. Hey, Glenn, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, how are you? I'm doing fine. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. What do you want to say, Taxi Driver Bob?
Well, number one, I guess, I don't know why the guy was all the way over in the left lane to begin with. It would have happened either lane he was in. Why that truck driver was going that fast is beyond me. I don't drive that fast when the conditions like that. It doesn't matter what lane he is. The same thing would have happened with the amount of snow covering it. The only thing I could tell the cab driver, actually any driver, is just all you can do is slow down.
Yep. And pray.
Hold your wheels straight. Hold your wheels straight, and turn your wipers on. Because it happens to the trucks too. When another truck passes me, it's a wall of snow.
Oh, so it does. I never even thought about that because you just kind of think because you guys are so high up. But that huge tunnel of snow it does get by 18 wheels. Let's think about it, right?
Yeah, it just goes higher. all you can do is just slow down, hold on to your wheel, keep as straight as possible, and then just turn your wipers on, because eventually it will pass. But
slow down.
It is scary.
Yeah, I do wonder. I mean, I've seen a couple accidents, but I never know if it's the result of one of these situations. But in high winds, you've got the a low visibility, especially with these cars blowing past you, as Andrea mentioned, with an SUV, because people think that for some reason their SUV is a Batmobile.
Right.
In bad weather, they can do whatever they want. Yeah. It's hard. It's very hard.
And case in point. Yeah. Awful accident today, which you and I both passed, Patty.
Yep.
On the Ohio Street feeder ramp, there were 7 or 8 cars involved in this. No, actually, I'm sorry, there were 9 cars involved.
You told me, yeah.
7 people hurt, including a child, because it was icy and it was slick, and someone was trying to pass someone. A car ended up in a building, and they had to, basically shut down the Ohio Street on the
feeder ramp. So, yeah. It was crazy.
I've had tremendous luck out there with that kind of weather. Like, I just feel like I know.
There it goes.
But now I just jinxed it.
Well, thanks so much, Glenn. We'll talk to you again, okay?
All right. Have a nice night.
You too. And Patrick wants to join us as well. Hey, Patrick, what's up?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with the last guy. He's right. When it's snowing, you're supposed to drop your speed half of the speed limit. And accordingly to, because not every vehicle has the same traction. And he's also correct about holding the steering wheel, keeping straight, not trying not to jerk the wheel or do anything sudden. And just methodically put your wipers on. And, one of the things about if you have a 4-lane expressway, truck drivers usually look at that second from the right lane as their passing lane. And when they are trying to pass another truck, which happens a lot, you see, sometimes they're not as fast as you would like them to go because their speed is only governed at a certain speed, depending on what company or if they're an owner-operator. But they'll look to go to the next left lane over because dealing with the first right lane with on and off traffic, which is another thing that I wish they would teach people when they get their license, how to deal with a truck when they're getting on and off ramp. If you are in front of the truck, by the time you're on the on ramp, you should speed up. I mean, well, given the conditions, because the truck driver can't go that fast and he can't slow down that.
Yeah, the momentum is working against everybody.
I do agree, because I do see people either try and merge or exactly what you're explaining, Patrick.
Or hesitate.
Yeah, and then they stop, which isn't good for anybody, because then you're really going to get stuck.
What you could do is just pretend that you are a horsefly with a bull, and you're buzzing around him, and he's just going chugging along, so...
All right.
Make one decision to get behind them or one decision to get in front of
Commit.
Them.
Commit. Yeah.
Don't pace.
Yes. Get in front or get behind. But driving next to somebody, then the truck driver has to try to anticipate what you're going to do. And that gets dicey. Thank you so much, Patrick. Be safe out there, okay?
Always.
Thank you so much. All of our truckers, be safe, and we appreciate your input. Let's take a break here. I've got Andrea. We couldn't find any candy. All we got was trail mix from
you didn't find the candy?
Sweet Alley's. But Sweet Alley's trail mix. So
That'll work.
Good snack on
Perfect.
That. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Paul Farbar joins us in studio. Paul laughing. 312-9.
Patty, do you know who this is?
I do not.
Huh.
Did I request this?
No, you did not.
Very good.
I don't know who this is either.
I know it's Get Down On It is the name of the song.
How are you going to do it if you really don't want to dance?
Rhymes with Smool and
Earth, Wind,
and
Fire. Oh, Cool and the Gang. Yes.
See, we knew. mm-hmm. Hey, Patty knew earlier tonight. You missed it. Patty knew
didn't
Jefferson.
Really.
You did.
It was
We Built
Airplane?
The City. No, she said Jefferson Starship. Which is pretty good.
That's right, actually.
We built the city on rock and roll. That's they said it was actually called Starship.
It's Starship by that point, but yeah.
All right, then.
They changed it a couple
times. I'm just
trying.
312-981-7200. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase Studios. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and joining us is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire,
yes.
Who is delighted by my appalling lack of musical knowledge, which Annie Mazur was in studio. I was doing Steve Cochran's show on Friday, and he stood here like still could not believe
the original texters to Is She Kidding?
Yeah.
I want you to go against my parents who are in their 70s who are immigrants, and I think them together might beat you just from knowing.
All right.
You know, they
have
me growing up.
Yeah, we could have. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll call in. They're in Florida right now.
All right.
So.
Well, we'll set it up another night where we can see if I can
beat Patty. It should be a contest, and maybe like different. So, like, we can have a 12-year-old. We can do all kinds of things with this game, Patty.
Oh, my
Patty.
Gosh. I don't know.
We haven't played that in a while.
Yeah, that's
we haven't.
Right.
And we haven't done What's Paul Eating in a while, too.
And that's fine, too.
Uh-oh.
Here, take this box of...
No, now we know it.
We know it's trail mix. Yeah. Go eat some of those Magna tiles, will you? There's something about people eating with their mouths, chewing with their mouths open that
you
just makes me crazy.
It keeps it light. Right now, we're having a light conversation.
Yes.
We're talking about dibs. We're talking about driving, which it's a lot lighter. But sometimes we have those nights on your show where it's where it gets pretty heavy, and you need to do
lighten
some lowbrow
eat with your mouth open
humor, and that's what I'm here for.
Right,
that's what I specialize.
And everybody gets his pickle or celery. Celery. That is pretty funny.
That was celery. Everyone knows. Yeah, they guess it, but that's never what it
is. Right.
It's always pickle.
It's not.
It's almost always pickle.
It's not always.
Sometimes it's chips.
Sometimes it's chips, Patty.
All right. How was your Thanksgiving, Paul?
It was fun. I was here. I was here with you. Remember?
Yes, but then you had to leave because you ticked off a woman.
I did. I had to go take care of.
What did you do?
He had to soothe the relationship.
There was just a situation where it was a friend of mine who my friends came in town, and I hung out with them, and we were going to meet up with. Her and her friends, but then it just didn't work out because I was opening for Pat Tomasulo and he went long, so we missed the concert we were supposed to go to. So it's Pat Tomasulo's fault.
I could see that. Yeah,
he only went long 5 minutes.
But still, it makes a difference.
It does because the concert we were going to see was ending.
We actually thought of we actually thought of a new segment while Paul was here. So we had a lot of people brought their leftovers, and I had brought several pies. We had sweet potato pie. We had a couple of pumpkin pies.
Oh,
I had a cherry pie.
I love sweet potato pie. Yeah.
And part of it was that Paul had been really looking forward to having some pumpkin pie, and then he was leaving because he had to go soothe this relationship.
You make it sound so dirty.
And the only he goes, I'm gonna take one of the pies on the way out. He said he was gonna take one of the pies with him.
Pumpkin
and I was
pie,
like, I was just like, but you can't.
I didn't
take,
bring it.
You can't come to a party and just take a pie,
especially if you're leaving early.
Yes.
Well, there was. That's where the rules come in, and that's where the game comes in. There was half of a pumpkin pie was left, and there was also a full.
What are you talking about? There was one slice gone.
Oh, you're right.
There was a tiny. I should have taken a picture of it. It was Adam Selzer had taken a tiny triangle piece.
Okay. Most of the pie was right. You're right.
My
bad.
There. It was.
I remember what
it was
like after I left the studio, which was I already ate a slice.
So you wanted to take the full pie or the pie that had
the one piece missing?
No, the one piece missing. But there was also a full additional pumpkin pie. In addition, there was other kinds of pies and lots of food. So I was like, hey, I'm just gonna take the pumpkin pie, which is what I was looking forward to the whole time.
Right.
What is? I was like,
and
what
it created a controversy. And the Reverend Livingston took my side.
Yes.
He said, yeah, Paul should get the pie.
And sort of,
Dr. Duffy took my side. Or no, he was on the fence.
No. He was.
Roger Badish took my side.
Yes.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Sure.
Before I, you know.
He did not bring anything with him.
I did not bring anything.
That was going to be my question.
But didn't I text him?
He had nothing to offer.
That was
going to
be
my question.
Also, I said, should I bring anything? And you said, no.
Right.
So
I
offered
to bring. You should then come and take other people's food.
Well, if I knew I had to bring something, I would have done that to get the pumpkin pie.
Kasara, have you ever been to a party where like someone just comes, like they're leaving? One, they're leaving early. Two, they didn't bring anything.
You made it sound like I left like, you guys, it was like an hour before the show.
Really,
you left before
Kasara,
nine.
You're on my side. Come on.
Kasara, I mean... you know, first of all, you know what's appalling really is that he expected, fully expected all of us to support his decision. I will say this, if he had just left with the pie and not said anything, I probably wouldn't have even known.
No one would have known.
You never say what you're going to take.
Yeah.
You just take it and go.
Well, there's
you
cameras everywhere there.
Yeah.
Well,
no, yeah, but we don't have access to all that footage, or do we?
I'm not going to look at the footage and see, hey, who took that? I wouldn't have even, I would have been happy knowing that my guests had enjoyed a pie.
Right.
Exactly.
But instead, Paul's all like, I'm just going to take this pie.
I had it for breakfast every day until today.
I was going to say, were you taking it to a different party?
No, I was just eating it all week. I love pumpkin pie, Andrea. Why is it so difficult?
So, okay, so it was just for you.
It was just, I was the only person that ate all that pie.
I don't know. I don't necessarily think that makes it worse.
But that's the question is, what are the rules when you go,
the first rule is you bring something with you.
Understood. I agree with that.
And it also opened the door of like when you bring something. Let's say you bring a bottle of wine to a party and nobody opens it.
Right. Do you take it back?
Do you take it back?
Mm. Or if you bring a really
there's so many questions.
Or if you bring a really good bottle of wine, and you're the host or the hostess, can you keep that for you for later?
So since so many people brought wine with them anyway,
can you take
party I've with been to, Patty?
I have been to parties like that with people who work here whose names I won't say, Judy Pilak. But I will bring her like a nice bottle of wine if she has a party, and she'll like a Santa Margarita. Or something,
she'll tuck it in the
and
back.
She'll save it in the back. And one time I came and I opened it, and she's like, "No, that's for me." The guests get barefoot, or I don't know, whatever kind of wine
we
it was.
We need an etiquette specialist to
that one, I don't
answer
know about,
questions.
Because my mom does a holiday party every year because she's a Red Hatter. So then all the Red Hats come over and they'll just bring their bottles of wine or whatever they bring and they'll just leave it. They won't even ask to take it with them.
Right.
But then we're stuck with all this wine that no one in the house drinks.
I think it's like your choice. Yeah. Like if you want to save the wine for yourself if you're having a party and then you can serve what you already bought to serve.
Maybe. I don't know.
Does your mom ever say, hey, you know, if you want to, does she ever, like, she should just set up a table of the wine you know you're not going to use and say, hey, on your way out, help yourself to a bottle of wine.
She tells them.
And they don't take it.
We have a bar downstairs. Yeah. And all the drinks will just be out on the bar. And she'll tell people, like, please take whatever you would want. And no one ever takes anything. Right. Just leave it for us.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew Patty was going to say, please, everyone take this pie.
No one ever says that about pie. No one ever says that about pie.
And on that, let's take a break. More after this on 720. Nobody ever says that about pie. You're right, Katsura.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me to vote.
Girl,
very nice. Good job.
Kisara, you have an event coming up
tomorrow.
Tell us a little bit about this.
So all I know is it's a private gala of sorts. There will be a live band, and I got asked to MC the night where members of Belle Biv DeVoe will be present.
That is very cool.
BBD.
It's one of those things. So Kisara had posted on Facebook that she took a nap, and when she woke up, she had a message. That's got to be such a wonderful way to wake up.
It was a great way. And then it was like a waterfall effect, because then after that, then I was asked to go on tour next year.
What?
I got booked for another event at one of the top venues I've been trying to spend at all year, called Beauty Bar, December 28th.
That's a place where it's a dance club at night, but it's a beauty salon.
Exactly.
Right. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, I got that. And then my grandfather, before he passed, during his final months, he was on in-home hospice.
Uh-huh.
And the hospice group asked myself and my family to do a radio interview tomorrow to talk about our experience working with them. So I get to do that first thing in the morning as well.
That is what a wonderful day for you. I mean, that sounds really sweet.
Yeah, I need a nap more often during the day.
Yeah, Well, you must be putting some good energy into the universe because good things are coming to you.
Absolutely. I have one quick question, though.
Of course.
Do we get like the VIP entrance? Can we come and watch you spin, or are we not at that level yet?
At Beauty Bar,
yeah,
maybe.
You guys
at
can come to any of my events. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Sure. We don't know about the gala, though. We don't want to put.
Yeah,
we don't push
about
your
the gala. I don't know about
we don't push your luck.
Yeah, not with BBD.
Well, I saw a post on Facebook yesterday from one of our regular callers, and I wanted her to share the story. She asked if she could join us. Jasmine joins us on the line. Hey, Jasmine, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me all right?
We certainly can.
The connection here at my school isn't being nice tonight.
Oh, no, it sounds fine. It's good to hear from you, Jasmine. I'm sorry that it's under these circumstances, because you were pretty upset yesterday.
Yeah, it was more like kind of offended and hurt. So yesterday I went out with one of my friends on the L. I traveled by myself, and I wasn't doing anything to attract attention, just sitting on the train on my phone like probably everyone else was. And some lady walks up to me out of nowhere, and she's like, honey, can I give you $5 so you can get a sandwich or something?
Right.
It's, and that, yeah. Like, just the way she worded it was just felt made me feel kind of hurt and offended.
And this is something where a lot of people, I know that we've had this conversation with other guests before, and there are listeners who are like, well, what's the big deal? And Jasmine, explain a little bit. You are visually impaired.
And yeah, I'm visually impaired. I, you know, walk with a white cane or a blue cane that I have now. I won't lie. There are some blind and visually impaired people that are on the streets. My grandmother told me this, but it's not all of us.
Right.
I mean, I'm in school. You know, I have a family that loves and cares for me. I recently turned 19. So, like, just don't look, like, people who are listening, just don't make dumb assumptions like that if you see someone that's blind or visually impaired or in a wheelchair or whatever. Think for a second.
How can we help people? Right. And I guess that's the thing, right, Jasmine, is that a lot of times people think that they're being nice. And often, like, people are probably hearing this conversation and thinking, well, what's the big deal? Right. Someone just trying to be nice to you. And I'm always curious as to why people are so quick to dismiss your feelings. You're telling us how it felt, and it's sort of strange. So how would you help somebody understand why this, because you're living in, you know, you're going to school, you're living independently, you're trying,
I'm learning how to live independently,
right? And, yes. And you're starting out in life, and this is something that was painful to you. How can we help people, like, take a step back, do you think? Maybe if you see somebody, just take a moment, right, to sort of right,
yeah, don't jump to conclusions like that. I don't think there was anything about me that screamed, hey, I need your money. I was talking to my friend when I got off the train, and she was like, she told me I should have asked that lady, what makes you think I need your money, just to see how she would react.
Right.
Because I bet she probably would have walked away.
Right. Do you have one of those moments where you're like, what I wish I had said?
Oh, yeah. Don't you do that all the time, Jasmine?
Like, what I would have said. Yeah. And this is something that I've been trying to develop too. When people stare at Declan, the thing I do now is when people stare too long at Declan, I say, thank you so much for your prayers.
Oh, that's smart.
Cause I mean, it's the only thing I can think of to say it. I mean, cause I often think people don't realize it. Right. And they don't realize that they've hurt your feelings, or that they're sort of invading that sort of, personal space in ways that it's so unexpected for you, Jasmine. You're just getting out. You're just going on the L, you know?
Yeah, and I just want to put it out there. I'm not trying to shame that lady, because you don't know who's listening,
right?
But I'm just, you know, saying if that woman's listening right now, it didn't make me feel right. Just think for a second.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Jasmine. I will also say this, for the first time, I think it's the first time, Jasmine. Jasmine and I often play Battleship on Facebook. Was that my first time I won? Did I beat you, Jasmine?
Yep. I beat you 30 times, though. So you gotta win 2 in a row.
That's it, Jasmine? 30?
Yeah. Yeah. She keeps kicking my butt.
Love those odds.
Yeah. I love the, so it's one of those games you can play if you go through your different apps. What Paul?
It's one of my favorite. I own that game in travel form and the bigger form. But then when I was a kid, we had the electronic one where it's like programming.
Well, Jasmine is ruthless, and I didn't quite understand how to use all the different types of missiles and torpedoes and things that Jasmine just unleashed on me every single game.
There's different types of torpedoes.
Yes, in the app there is, and Jasmine is masterful at it.
And if I can ask something real quick before I go, is Nick D still around?
Of course, he's on from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. So when
because I'm trying to, you know, school and
right.
Like, if you see him, could you just let him know Jasmine says hi, and I'm sorry I haven't listened to his show in months.
Oh, of course we'll let Nick D know, and hopefully this will make it to Nick D's spies. So if somebody can mark it, you can play that for him, and that Jasmine says hello. So somebody send that into Dan Shagru at 10:43. Jasmine says hi.
Well, I'm going back to bed.
Okay. Thank you, Jasmine. Appreciate that story. And hopefully people will take that into consideration. Thank you. She's so sweet. We always love hearing from her. Paul's still trying to understand where he went wrong with the pumpkin pie.
I know.
And but I don't know if we can get an etiquette expert. At some point we should.
I feel like there's so many gray areas,
right?
That I think we unleashed that night,
right,
with the pumpkin pie, because clearly I feel like I was entitled to that pie. And given the backstory, also, right, if you guys also, I want to add in, if anyone is saying, "Oh, how dare you?" Because I know Cassara threw me under the bus. My point is that Patty knew that I. The only thing I asked is, like, is there going to be pumpkin pie?
And there was.
And there was.
Right.
And I was the one that she, you said something along the lines of, I brought this pumpkin pie for you. Something
I brought
like,
no, I brought dark meat for you.
That's true. But you also
said, and you didn't take any. He said, I like dark meat. So I brought him, I kept my family from eating the drumsticks.
Oh.
Now you're trying to guilt me.
I said, these are for Paul. Paul's not having Thanksgiving with his family.
Right.
He's only having it on my show. I made a full turkey. You saw how giant those drumsticks were.
Yeah.
And
you
I
ate one drumstick.
Not one drumstick.
I didn't see the drumsticks. I ate the dark meat that was in the middle.
I had the two massive drumsticks in that round Tupperware.
Somebody ate that, I think.
No, they're back home in my mom's fridge. My mom's like, I went to the grocery store to buy some peppers for that turkey. She's in her fridge.
I'm pretty sure someone took those drumsticks, and then they just took it without bringing it to your attention.
You know what I forgot? I had cut out the wishbone for us all to break the wishbone, and I totally not all of us. That would be weird for all six of us.
Yeah,
to
if
be,
we all grabbed like a
grab.
Yeah. So, but that brings up another point. I think is, have you ever been to one of these events?
Wishbone?
Who gets a wishbone? No. Have you ever had someone show up with Tupperware? Like
to take home stuff.
Oh, which, yeah. Oh, no. I thought you meant like you brought something in a Tupperware.
No, they bring empty Tupperware.
They bring it to take home.
They bring empty Tupperware in order
I've
to bring
heard
home.
About this. Wow.
And I'm torn over this, Cassara. I've never done it.
I've never even seen this idea.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen people bring, like, I'll see a woman bring out like a tote bag with Tupperware and Ziploc bags. And
oh my god!
Oh, she comes prepared.
Yes, yeah.
All right, that's a little.
I'm just laughing.
Paul might do next time.
Paul just puts it under his coat.
Right.
No, my parent. Anytime I go see my parents in the suburbs, they'll give me all this food in Tupperware. In the summer, I'm like, I'm not going straight home. I've got a show or I got to do something. Right. Like that. It's just going to get run.
Yeah.
So I've learned just to say sure, because then I just take it home, and if it's rotten by the time it gets to my house, I throw it out. But now I have
whole,
because I cleaned out my. During Thanksgiving, I cleaned out my whole place, and now I have all this Tupperware. I have a whole thing of Tupperware that I got to like...
From your parents?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We'll just take it back to their place and leave
there.
And they
said not to wash it, so it's like...
What do you mean they say not to wash it?
You're not supposed to put it in the dishwasher.
Oh, then I'm doing it wrong.
That's what I...
Who says? I think there's...
This is a whole other topic, too.
See, this is why we need an etiquette expert.
Hold on. I used to put Tupperware in the dishwasher, but now
you've been told not to?
I've been told not to.
My mom specifically said not to do it.
What do you mean?
I do it anyway.
I think there is dishwasher safe Tupperware.
I know, but any Tupperware that you put in there can somehow get ruined.
There's also another etiquette. Since speaking of washing, people say you're not supposed to wash your jeans either. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah. The grossest thing I've
you
ever
dry
heard.
Them or
they put
them?
You put them in the freezer.
Yes, you put them in the freezer. Is what the kids do.
You gotta wash your jeans.
Yes.
No, wait. I no do kids
it.
Put jeans in freezers.
You know, because
Sarah's
you know
a resident
your...
millennial.
Yeah.
No, wait, you didn't heard of it?
Yeah, no,
no, I've never heard anyone.
You gotta wash your clothes.
You know why? So, you know why? It makes
wash
your
jeans.
You gotta wash your jeans. And if you put it in the freezer, it makes your ice cream taste like crotch.
There
it is. To it right there. Hey, Patrick, how are you doing?
Wow.
I didn't think I was going to come on the tail end of that. Cream.
Tupperware.
So, yeah, it's good etiquette to bring if you know to bring Tupperware with you if you know you're going to be bringing taking home leftovers.
Right.
Because people don't want to be giving out their Tupperware and then trying to have to get it back, you know.
My sister-in-law doesn't like leftovers. She and her husband just throw everything away. So we know, and they'll often send us home with like Tupperware full of stuff.
Yeah.
But I usually forget. They want to get rid of all of it. So I get, but it's the people that are like just sort of sneak over and just start shoveling things into their Ziploc bags and their Tupperware, cracking up. I kind of love that. Like there's something
right,
I wouldn't do it.
You're awesome.
Thanks,
love
Patrick.
You,
so are you. Have a great
See
night.
You, Patrick.
Paul, this is for you. You should keep a cooler in your car when your because your parents are going to give you leftovers. You know it's coming.
Well, yeah, now in the winter, it's fine. Well, they're gone now, but I mean, they're gone to Florida. But
they didn't leave the earth. No, they just left the state.
I have a bag of gravy for you at home if you want that.
No, I wanted the pumpkin pie and I got it.
I understand. Yeah, I got dark meat for you. Hey, Patty, what do you want to say?
I have a funny story, kind of, for you for Thanksgiving.
Sure.
About leftovers. So we went to my sister-in-law's house in Chicago, and she always packs up a big, you know, bag of, it's all different containers of food. And my brother-in-law lives in Manteno. So we had two bags of food in the back seat for my husband and my brother-in-law in Manteno. And then after we got home, I live in the Deerfield area and live in Riverwoods. I was going to go to CVS for something, so I had my CVS white bag in the back seat. Well, we got home to my house. I realized the CVS bag was gone and both bags of food were in the car.
What?
They'd taken the CVS bag and put in the refrigerator in Manteno.
My husband went the wrong way back to Manteno.
Yeah. Where's my CVS bag? It wasn't tall or anything. The other two white bags were very tall with all these containers in it.
It's funny that you went all the way back to Manteno to get it.
He went all the way back because I know the CVS bag had a lot of bucks and stuff. I don't know if you know what bucks are, but that expire.
Uh-huh.
But it was a very important bag, so he went all the way back the next day.
That's so funny. Oh, man.
Oh,
funny.
God. Yeah, I had to tell you that. Oh, my gosh.
That's
right. It's with my CVS bag.
Oh, I love it, Patty.
All right.
Thank you so much. Okay. Got to go back for that. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Before we go to the break, because I have this TV on over here, we often have like local or national news. Have you seen how many of these commercials now have like the organs? That was her bladder walking next to her. Have you seen some of these these prescription commercials? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
that was
God.
Her bladder like walking alongside of her.
Yeah, and
I've seen ones with
Do you ever see like one where the woman gets the flu and like it's like this little nasal guy walking around?
Does this convince you to buy a medicine? How about like the mucus guy who I think was.
Oh, yeah,
and the fungal stuff, and
that was TJ
Miller.
Voice,
was mucus, right? Or was he fungal or mucus?
Mucinex,
yeah. I don't.
Which that is good, supposed to be good,
right? I buy because Dr. Most told me not to, not because TJ Miller is the mucus boy. Yeah. I don't get it. All right, let's take a break here. Tell me something good. What's making you smile tonight? 312-981-7200. Tell us something good. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis.
Tell me something good.
Andrea, I totally forgot earlier. I had promised I would tell the story about waking up to Steve Cochran. So my something good is that a listener wants to hear the rest of that story. And it is kind of something good because it made me laugh so hard. I started texting Steve Cochran during his show. He was talking to Dr. Most because over the weekend, he had a little bit of a situation that made him very concerned. And he wanted to talk to Dr. Most about it. He was eating an apple and he heard a popping sound in his jaw. And he and Dr. Most were talking about it. And I started texting Steve. And here's the thing. I've had TMJ since I was 13 years old. I got a hamburger from the joint that was right down the street from us, from Niagara Restaurant over in Norwood Park. And I went to take a bite. I know I already had food in my mouth because I took a bite and my jaw got stuck open. And I had to like let the food just fall out of my... I had to like massage the sides of my... I just remember being absolutely terrified. But and it's happened twice, two or three times in my life. So I have to cut apples. I can't like just bite into a big burger or a hot dog. But the first boy I ever made out with, a boy named Jason at Lane Tech, we were kissing, and I was lying on my back on the floor, and it's my first time really like French kissing, so he was kind of like trying to get me to open my mouth. So I was on my back and my mouth opened, but because of the TMJ, my jaw popped open and he like pulled back because his face like fell into my mouth.
Oh,
he pulled back and he goes, "Oh my God, what was that?" He goes, "I thought you were like an alien and your jaw just unhinged.
Like a snake." Like, it's going to eat me.
So I was texting Cochran this morning to let him know, because he was worried that it was because of age. He thought that maybe he was like developing something. And Dr. Mose was explaining that this is something that you can develop. It can be from grinding your teeth.
Grinding your teeth. Or I heard chewing too much gum, too.
Yes, chewing gum can lead to it. I have had to deal with it for most of my life, but it brought back all these memories. I have to be very careful. I can't eat taffy apples. It's not something you would notice. I just... I
No,
cut a lot of my food.
I thought it was something that you develop as you get older too. Because, but now I think it's just that I grind my teeth. Because I've noticed like the past year, I can like pop my jaw.
Yeah. So he was
it's so weird.
Can you imagine being like? Because it doesn't happen to everybody, but if you're eating something and all of a sudden you just feel something pop, but having it get stuck is so much scarier.
Oh, no. Wow.
But yeah, Steve was very nervous, and it was and he went on talking about apples, and I do wish we could have Dr. Most on for a whole we should see if it fits in the schedule.
Yeah,
for like a whole hour, because and because everyone really comes to him. Like Carm was talking about his foot hurting, and the doc thinks that it might have been plantar fasciitis.
He knows everything.
I think so
Doc
too.
Most knows everything.
Yeah, and I was sending videos to Carm because there are videos on YouTube that show you how you can stretch your feet in order to alleviate some of that pain. So Dr. Most was diagnosing them. I was texting them trying to make them feel better because I'm like, me too.
See, I have my brother is a neurosurgeon, so like I text him all the time or I send him pictures of stuff. I'm like, what's this? I'm trying to
Does he love when you do that?
I'm trying to keep it PG-13, but yeah.
How does that go over?
I answer legal questions for him, but yeah, I mean, he's brilliant. I mean, he's an MD PhD neurosurgeon, so he had to do every kind of specialty to become there.
Yeah, so he knows everything. By the way, someone from the 847 says, "Oh my God, Niagara, the mean guy and his wife, but I love the burgers. It's a blast from the past." So the guy who owned this place, it was a Greek couple.
Oh,
and they had this great restaurant, great hot dogs, and they had the best gyros.
Where was it at?
It was on Niagara and Northwest Highway.
Okay,
And I actually grew up on that block, so I used to go there all the time. They hated kids.
No.
This is how much he hated kids. He built a walk-up window so that we wouldn't come inside.
Seriously?
I'm not kidding. But when I started going to college, to adults, he was very nice. He asked me how my family was, how are you doing? But he just hated the kids.
Oh, man.
Anyway, that was my something good was laughing about this morning show. Paul, what's making you happy tonight? Tell me something.
Just nothing. It's Monday. Released a new singles only podcast with comedian Nate Weatherup. Listen to it on iTunes, SoundCloud, all that stuff.
Excellent.
And I got some cool shows coming up this weekend. PaulFComedy.com.
PaulFComedy.com. What's making you happy, Andrea?
Oh, my snowblower works.
Yay! With a lot of texts from listeners, by the way.
Yeah, thank you so much, listeners.
The
snowblower works, so I am ready for the next snow, and I don't have to shovel again.
You're going
to
do the whole block?
Snow for Fingers like crossed. Another month.
Yeah, right?
I'm just kidding.
And I'll pay it forward and do a neighbor's house.
Also, I'm thankful for the pumpkin pie I had all day.
Oh.
Finally finished today.
There you go.
Yeah, breakfast every day. Rub it in our face.
I should have brought
it.
You're welcome, Chris.
How long do you think sweet potato pie lasts?
I love sweet potato pie.
I'll bring it tomorrow.
Idea. Okay, cool.
I'll Google it. It's been in the fridge, right?
Since Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
Kassara, tell me, what's making you happy tonight?
The interview I get to do tomorrow, it will be at WJOB, and it's for the Hospice of the Calumet area. So I'm very excited about that.
Thank you to our listener who wanted to know about that. So thank you so much.